the expedition go?
Great. I've found the pages of the Book of the Dead.
Yeah, I got your telegram. Thanks. Annie, you hinted in your telegram that your father was onto something with the first part of his translations. What has he found in the Book of the Dead?
Probably nothing. But just possibly the doorway to another world.
You're listening to Nowhere in Mulberry. Film, television, and pop culture. It's where you find it.
Okay, so Greg has asked me if it'd be all right if he could write an article about the show for his high school newspaper. So everybody, you give him some time, that'd be great.
Peterman?
Yes, Michael.
If you see Greg, could you tell him I'm not available?
Greg is right here, Michael.
Hey. Greg, I recently made a promise to myself and to my therapist to start using the word no because I'm a people pleaser, and people pleasers sometimes have kind of a hard time with that word. So, Greg, no.
Cool. All right, so about you, Mr. Showalter?
Yeah?
No, we're kind of a package deal, so it's either you interview us both or neither of us, right, Mike?
Well, I'm not so sure, but
well,
we can talk.
Well, I think that it would be best if we either did it together or not at all.
Well, I don't know. We could...
Well, I think probably we'll maybe hold off on that decision.
Well, we don't need to hold off on it.
Not sure.
Well, I'm pretty sure.
Well, I think we'll save this decision for a later date.
Well, we can make the decision soon.
We'll figure it out at a later date.
Well, we won't, but okay. We can move on.
Thanks, Greg.
Now, don't forget a loaf of bread, a container of milk, and a stick of butter. If you can't remember, I'll write it down for you.
That's okay, Mommy. I won't forget. I remember. A loaf of bread, a container of milk, and a stick of butter. A loaf of bread, a container of milk, and a stick of butter. A loaf of bread, a container of milk, and a stick of butter. A loaf of bread, a container of milk, and a stick of butter. A loaf of bread, a container of milk, and a stick of butter. A loaf of bread, a container of milk, and a stick of butter.
Mister, can I have a loaf of bread, a container of milk, and... Gee, I can't remember. Can you remember what my mommy said?
A loaf of bread, a container of milk, and a stick of butter.
A stick of butter. I remembered. Mommy, I remember. A loaf of bread, a container of milk, and a stick of butter.
You have a good memory, honey.
Thank you, Mommy.
What's he doing, Ma? It's like a trap or something?
Calm down. He just wants a hug.
From me?
Yeah.
From you. Come on, man. Jesus.
Go ahead.
Jesus, I think we're getting out just in time, Ma.
Come on.
Yeah, whatever. Fine.
Thanks for coming.
Hey,
whoa, what's the matter?
The hell are you doing?
What's that
matter?
Was lovely.
What are you talking about?
You bump me with your package. You don't package bump when you hug.
I didn't package bump you. What the hell are you talking about?
You're supposed to pull your package back when you hug a man.
My package was pulled back, okay?
Yeah, why don't you try reading the manual once in a while?
The manual? My hips were all out.
You didn't pull your pelvis back. That's what you're supposed to do, you dickweed.
You know what? Just take your shit and go.
Just the package.
You're unbelievable. You know what? You're just a dick. Get out. Don't let the door hit you on the way out, jerk off.
See ya, swat.
Okay, yeah, with your fruity shopping bag.
Oh, look at me. I got cancer.
It's time to pay the fiddler. Where's my sister, Jess? I taught Silver and everything he knew, but not everything I know. The last sound that you hear on your way to hell is gonna be your guts snapping like a bullwhip.
You're gonna get yours.
Oh, no.
Hey! Fire! Hey, everybody!
It's Friday. It's time for Nowhere in Mulberry. Welcome to the show. I am the J-Strom. The pop culture district is here for you. We're here to talk film, television, pop culture, and all that kind of stuff with Steven!
Yay!
Steven, the pop culture zealot, is back in the hizzy. Welcome back, Steven.
Thanks. Back I'm glad to be back.
Colorado.
Colorado.
You survived the motorcycle riding. How was that?
Very,
awesome.
Very awesome. I got to ride up STs to the Stanley Hotel.
Nice. Where the Shining,
the inspiration was, for the inspired. Shining. And got home yesterday, and I was watching Ghost Hunters on Sci-Fi, and that was the first one TiVo'd.
Nice.
Was the Stanley. I was like,
did they cover the room? What was it, room 207 or something? I remember Stephen King saying
401.
That. 401? What is that? I thought it was room 207 or something.
207.
227, that's what it is. Haunted by Florence or whatever.
401.
No place like home.
401 is the one where Stephen King stayed.
Oh, I gotcha.
That's the
room. And
he
heard about
the
haunted room.
And
did you see Scatman?
Yes.
Did you hear him in your
he
head?
He was throwing...
You want some ice cream, Doc?
He kept shining me, dude.
Hey, Doc. We also have Mulberry Bill! Mulberry Bill, the Mulberry historian. How you doing, Bill?
I died a painful death.
I'm
excellent.
Hey, Bill, how's it going?
I'm terrific.
Well, good.
Loaf of bread, a container of milk, and a stick of butter.
Oh, yeah, I got to remember that. I got to go to the store right after the show and pick that
up. A stick of butter.
I loved that as a kid. I don't know, it was always stuck in my head. And
we used to do that all the time when we worked together.
Loaf of bread. Container of milk, stick of butter. Who says container of milk?
Container of milk.
Just go get a gallon of milk or something.
Yeah, a gallon of milk.
I mean, hello.
Well,
we know,
you know, gallons weren't as prevalent in the 70s.
It's like you
half
don't say
gallon.
A bag
yeah,
of
half
bread.
Yeah, gallon container.
Container of milk and butter wrapped in wax paper.
And then you... wait,
a single stick of butter, like a quarter cup stick or one of those big full blocks of butter?
Now you're confusing the kid.
Well, I don't know.
What size container of milk you want?
That kid's an idiot anyways.
Oh,
she gets to the store repeating the whole thing over and over again and then forgets the last thing.
I know. What does she want, a medal when she remembers? Come on.
Yeah. Well. The mom should have went, good for you, you little brat.
All right, everybody. Thanks for joining us. We're going to talk about all sorts of TV shows this week. And I'm really excited. We're going to talk about this new show, Bill, called The Colony. On Discovery Channel. You told me about it.
Mysterious.
I think the day before it was coming on, you told me about it. And I was real excited about it because it's post-apocalyptic type of thing. And, you know, we're really into that. We love that shit.
Mm-hmm.
We also have Big Brother to talk about. Some Hell's Kitchen is back. Holy crap.
Yeah.
Where did that come from? It came out of nowhere.
I know. I'm telling you.
It was the most awesome two-hour train wreck that I've ever watched. It was incredible.
Yeah, there was so much gold in this episode. I was like, man, what are we going to do? How are we going to mine this?
I didn't know what to do except make a long-ass clip. That's the only thing I knew to do about it.
We'll be able to talk for an hour on this show alone.
And
I know.
And you know when they do the this season on Hell's Kitchen, and they show the dude cut like the tips of his fingers off. I was like,
that was brutal.
Dude, looks
I got the bone.
Yeah, he's like, ah, like screaming. Jesus, man. I just got to remember not
did
to
did he do that
eating.
On a mandolin?
I don't know, but you know, what
looked
was
like that. It looked like
tomatoes.
One of those slice, yeah, tomato slicers or, you know, when they cut the whole.
Yeah, that's a mandolin.
They need
is
to
that
get a slap chop in the kitchen, don't you think? Nice slap chop.
Get the slap
that's safe.
Shot.
You can't
hey,
hurt yourself
you know, start having a better tuna. Stop having a boring life. Or what the hell he says. I hate that son of a
now,
bitch.
Now, Bill, I want to make an announcement before we get into some voicemail. The NIMH Book Club show for the Drawing of the Three, we're going to do it next week instead of a regular show, okay?
Okay.
So it's the last week of July, and if anybody wants to send in their comments via voicemail or MP3, at nimpodcast@gmail.com or at 206-202-3491. Be sure and do that this week before Friday so we can have it on the show. I'm really excited.
Yeah, don't
to
drag
talk
your
about
ass, people.
Yeah, I'd really like to hear from Swiley and Adam and the MDaddio. Just everybody, anybody who's reading it, you got to let us know what you think. It'd be awesome. Or in the forum afterwards, after the show comes out. And I'm really
That's
excited
true.
To talk
yeah.
about that. But I'm nearing the end of the book. I actually haven't finished it yet. I'm almost there. You're in a good rhythm. You're going along. Then all of a sudden the book's just like, aha, I have you. And just totally start screwing with your mind. It's awesome.
I know. I really enjoyed it.
I was just kind of
I'm
like,
going to have to listen
what?
To the audiobook.
What? What? Just kind of like, huh? And just like, I totally like just, it's awesome. I can't wait to finish it. But let's go ahead and get into some voicemail, and then we'll get right into all the great shows we're going to talk about this week. The first one is for Adam. And this literally, I'm not kidding, like 55 after, 5 minutes before the show, I saw we had a voicemail. So I haven't even listened to this. Let's check it out. It's Adam. That's all I know.
Jason, you seem to have a lot of free time. What's up, guys? This is Adam out in California. Just wanted to call in and talk about a couple of things. I know you guys are recording tonight, so I wanted to make sure I got my call in for 172. Jason was emailing me and asking me to give you some origins of some of the drops and whatnot. And some of them have come from as far back as like show 3 and 4. I don't remember exactly which ones, but like Steven saying that's a great thing or whatever. But one thing I wanted to say was around episode 32, 33, the DVD music that you guys still use currently comes in, but there's no lyrics to it. But then on episode 33, I think Bill is just, like, messing around, and it kind of sounds like that gravelly, like, let's do some DVDs or whatever. So anyways, that's one of the origins, but just wanted to say that I hope you guys have a great show. And, man, on some of these old-school episodes, this guy, Michael something or other, that had this show, I think it was on Bravo or A&E. It's
Jonathan?
Called Blowout or something
Jonathan,
like that.
Jonathan, okay.
It's hilarious. Me and Ross just keep saying like to each other, Bang with dash. He's like talking about, oh, like, I made this, I showered with bottled water and I shampooed my hair with bottled water and I'm going to make a shower head that's like purifies the water. It's just very strange. He's just like a weird dude.
That stuff was gold
very,
material,
very,
man.
Very strange stuff. But anyways, not really much to say. The DVD, I was wondering when that DVD song was going to come in, so. I'm on episode 34 now, and I wish I had a time machine because Jason was talking about how Superman movie directed by Bryan Singer is coming out. And I wish I had a time machine so I could go back and say, don't look forward to it. It's terrible. Don't go see it. But anyways, all right, I guess I'll leave it at that. Have a good show.
Yeah, I wonder what I said there. Like, guys, I am so excited.
Oh, man, I remember going to see that at the theater and getting all excited because of the opening, the, like, Richard Donner opening, and being like, yeah, okay, this is it. And then, oh, it started.
I remember when we talked about it on the show, I liked it a little bit more than you did. And it's kind of like once it's out on DVD and you watch it more, it's kind of like...
It's more and more depressing every time.
Yeah, it's one of those. It's just so fracking boring.
Yeah, it's almost like you're so excited when you go see like a Superman or a Batman. You know, it's
you forgive
really,
it right then at that point in time.
You forgive a lot of things like that. It's hard to just like come out of a movie and just go,
that sucked ass.
Yeah, it's something like Superman or Batman. But you know, regular movies, you're not like built up like that with all this anticipation. But
sure.
It's like G.I. Joe, Bill. Automatically, it's the greatest movie ever made. And when I come out of the theater, I don't care what anyone says. It's going to be
the greatest
so
CGI
good.
Movie ever made.
Yes. Was he talking about the DVD song just kind of manifested? There was no kind of like buildup of it?
I think
you started playing the song originally.
And you would do the let's do some DVDs.
And that's how you would start it, was let's do some DVDs.
Yeah, I would go, let's do some DVDs.
Yeah, and then Steven, just one day you start singing, I think. It wasn't like pre-planned.
Because we were just doing, at that time we were recording it beforehand, and I thought you would just
cut it out and play the song without me singing.
Right. I think that's what, because remember back in the day, the show wasn't live. So we were just screwing around a lot of times.
That's it. That's exactly how it came out. Was just
and it's
us,
like, shit, that shit was gold. I'm leaving it in. Or just
that's
one day.
Tight.
Because, I mean, you listen back to it and you're like going, okay, that'll stay in, you know?
Yeah. I think we're really bad about explaining things too. It just like all of a sudden happens. Like, I think, yeah. I don't know if it was Adam or someone else saying that. I'm curious to know when Vanessa leaves the show. Don't give any spoilers as the reason why. And I'm like, I'm just thinking like, well, it's not really anything like that. It's just like she's not here anymore. There's not like any big explanation.
Yeah, she just stopped showing up. She blamed her internet connection.
Right. Well,
she said that her internet connection was bad or it didn't work or something.
She was gone for a while, and then she came back for a while when we went on Talk Radio X, and then the second time she left is mainly because of Friday's show. It, you know, started with the internet thing, and then she didn't want to do shows on Friday. So, whatever. So it's not like any big revelation. So,
yeah. And then afterwards, we were going to do a search for a female news person.
Yeah, we never completed any of those thoughts. It's just like something
We say stuff.
You say stuff out loud that we shouldn't because we really have no intention of doing anything.
Yeah, we completely talk out of our asses on a regular basis.
It's the same thing as our Mulberry commentaries. You know, we want to do that, but
we'll actually do that one day because we did the Left 4 Dead thing, and
right.
we just need to.
And we actually have done.
We will eventually, but
done a book club now.
All I know is this: I'm glad that we have these Mulberry old school episodes for everyone to check out. I think that's really cool. I'm really annoyed right now because the host that we're using, GCast, is acting really screwy with all the files and it's driving me nuts. But I'm glad that we have that body of work everyone can go to look at. And I was even telling Adam, hell, check out the lunchtime shows that we did. Those are on there too. On a link on nowhereinmulberry.com, you can listen to all of our lunchtime shows. I don't know. We did like 8 or 9 or 10 or something
I think I was even wondering what we did. Wondered a couple of weeks ago when I wondered when the DVD song started. I didn't even remember.
It just starts one day, I think. One episode. But
much like anything on our show, it just starts.
Now, we got another voicemail, and this one is from Rick. And Bill, I believe that we requested he review that new Van Wilder movie.
Oh, okay.
So here's a nice review. Let's check it out.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
I'm going to say, I think Rick has a fan going in the background. I think that's what that hum is. Let's check it out.
Freshman year. Now, I watched this movie on my computer over the internet, free. This movie... if you're in the mood for boobies, this movie is good for you.
Excellent.
17 minutes, the first pair of boobies are shown. After that, there are another 9 pair of boobies, and you see one of those pair of boobies twice. All up, 10 pair of boobies in 100 minutes. That's 1 pair of boobies every 10 minutes. Okay? You don't watch this movie to enjoy cinema and film. You watch this movie if you want to see boobies. So if you're watching this movie, you're going to enjoy it for boobies. Okay, there is this dog with gigantic balls, like Bill said, and they're CGI balls.
Awesome.
So they look awesome. Story, acting, everything is poor, but there is a lot of boobies. I have to get back to this. Boobies, boobies, boobies. My brother came in at one point and started watching it with me. He said to me, you know, I feel lonely watching this movie. Lonely and sad. I said, why do you feel lonely? He said, because no one else in the world will be watching this movie. And it's true. This movie is so bad, you do feel lonely watching this movie.
Wow.
But if you say, oi dudes, I've got this movie we can watch together. There's boobies in it. Let's all have some beers. Look at some boobies. This is going to save you money at the strip club, this movie. You know? $2 Tuesday. Hire out Van Wilder freshman year. You get to look at 10 pairs of boobies for $2. In Australia, in my area at least, we have at Blockbuster, Cheap Tuesday. $2 for any movie, new releases, anything. $2. The most famous actor in this movie would be Kurt Fuller. I still had to look him up, but I did recognize him from a lot of different things.
I have no idea who that is.
But everyone else is just, like, done nothing. One of the characters in it is called... He's an Asian dude. He's called Yu Dumb.
Oh.
Fuck.
Yu Dumb.
You say it together. Yu Dumb. Anyway, that's his name in the movie. It's hilarious. So I give a healthy one star if you're sober, 5 stars if you're drunk and you want to look at boobies. And from a couple of weeks ago, I cracked up when I saw my face on the enhanced feed, and it's okay if you do that. That's fine. I loved it. I really, really loved it more than I could possibly say without sounding like a homosexual nerd. A homosexual nerd. Man, I wonder how many homosexual nerds there are. Probably not as many as you think. And that dude who wanted to know about what you guys do, you know, screw him, don't tell me for one. But I remember when I found out, oh, that's why Stephen flies around all the time. He installs medical equipment for Philips. And I thought, well, okay, now I know a bit more about Stephen. I feel a bit more in touch with the show. I'll do a bit about myself. Hi, my name is Rick. I'm 27-year-old white male. I enjoy a variety of things, but for my work, which I do to survive, I work at a brewery, the largest brewery in Australia.
Nice.
I work 2 or 3 days a week as a casual employee, and I get paid well enough so that I only have to work 2 or 3 days a week, which gives me a lot of free time. I am drunk this week, so that's a plus for Stephen, because Stephen liked it when I'm drunk. And you're the reason I'm drinking at 3:30 in the afternoon, Stephen. Thanks a lot. So keep up the good work, as I always say. This is Rick. Rick from Australia. So you know. Goodbye, I love you.
Nice. Thank you, Rick.
Thanks, Rick.
I love Rick
the movie reviewer.
Yeah, I love that. I hope you got something good for him this week, Bill.
A 1 if you're sober, a 5 if you're drunk and want to see boobies.
I'm totally renting it now because I love boobies.
That is awesome.
Boobies, boobies, boobies.
And yes. Rick, what the hell is that humming sound in the background? It's driving me
crazy.
Well,
I'll tell you one thing. It can't be. Maybe it is a fan. You know what? It's probably his heater, because if you think about it, the southern hemisphere has winter in the middle of the summer. So... Well, if it's summer here, it's winter there.
The last voicemail he did, there was no hum. It's like it's off and on. So I think there's a certain room that's loud that sometimes you... I don't know. We got to know this. This is very mysterious.
I think it adds to the ambiance.
I wonder if he gets a discount on his beers.
His beers? That'd be awesome.
I totally... You know what? Because they do... 1 year, 2 year, I don't know how long it'll be, Rick, but I am totally coming down to Australia, and we are having a couple beers.
Nice. You guys could throw the boomerang around.
I wonder what the largest brewery in Australia is. Is that Cooper's or Foster's
Lager, mate? I have no idea, though.
I know Cascade Brewery's the oldest one. That's in Tasmania, though. I love my beer, so I know about...
I'm from Tasmania. Hey, you just made me think of Young Einstein for a second.
That's probably one movie they wish they could erase off the face of the planet.
Come on.
I saw that in the theater.
Yahoo Serious is a great writer, director, actor. You know, I saw that in the theater, too. I was waiting for Parenthood to start, and I snuck into Young Einstein for a while. And then I was like, well, my movie's getting ready to start. I got to go.
When I was young, my sister Shannon would always take me to movies, and we went to see Young Einstein, and we went to see Parenthood. So that's crazy, too.
They were in the theater at the same time, I remember.
Yeah, I just remember going to Young Einstein and thinking, wow, this is really terrible. And I was like 9 or 10 years old at the time, and I knew it was bad.
You know, I think the production values, the way the movie looks is pretty good. It's just kind of like, I don't know, it's... I'm not getting the sense of humor of it.
It just made me go, you know what? This beer stuff has to be amazing if you can split the atom with a chisel.
Oh, and you know, the one thing that I liked is the part where he saves the little kittens from the cat pie. Remember? There's kittens.
Yeah.
All right.
I need to rent Young Einstein and Reckless Kelly.
Oh, God. I've never seen Reckless Kelly. I don't know if I want to.
Oh, really?
Yikes.
Yeah, he did another one in like 2000 called Mr. Accident that I never saw.
What the hell are you talking about?
Oh, yeah. I vaguely remember that.
Yeah, who's serious?
Oh.
What the hell are you doing?
All right, we've got another voicemail, and now this voicemail is from the guy who we gave a major hard time to about.
Oh no!
About you know, free time. But let's go ahead and check this out.
Hey, this is Condescending Guy from a show from a couple weeks ago. Just wanted to say I'm a big fan of the show, and that I wasn't trying to cast any aspersions on either one of you guys or get the secrets to life. In like some kind of Tony Robbins fashion. I was just curious because the way it sounded, I know it's time and tested putting something like this show together. I was just wondering how you did it. But, you know, it's fair enough. If you don't want to discuss, that's cool. Hey, good luck. And, I did want to mention this as a show book suggestion. HBO, I guess, is doing the Fire and Ice book series George R.R. Martin wrote. You might want to consider maybe doing those as the next book series, since it's also maybe going to be an HBO TV show. Apparently they did a pilot. I think I read it's getting picked up. So that might be show related and, you know, book related. All right. Very well. Good luck, gentlemen.
Hey, you didn't leave your name, so I'll just call you Condescending Guy, like you said, but,
yeah.
No hard feelings. Basically, we turned it into a bit for the show.
Yeah.
I'm not really angry at you or anything. And I love that you like the show and everything. And
we had a little fun at your expense.
Yeah. And I wish, you know, I hope you keep listening. And in fact, I'd say you become a new character on the show, send more voicemails in a condescending fashion.
Yeah, in a very condescending, satirical way. That would be terrific.
But, you know, I looked up the George R.R. Martin books, and they sound really interesting. But right now, just being on Book 2 of The Dark Tower, I can't look ahead to another series yet.
Yeah, that's...
I can't do it yet. But maybe in the distance, maybe when the HBO series comes out, I'll be like, whoa, this is so awesome. I got to check this out or whatever. But that's a cool suggestion. And, you know, I read about it. It sounds really interesting. But right now, it's just too soon to really plan ahead. Don't you think, Bill?
It's too soon.
We got way too many Dark Tower books.
Six more books to go.
But like I said, no hard feelings or anything like that. I would almost say that when I first heard the voicemail, I took offense over the assumption that, I don't know, there was too much free time in the day to do a show like this. Obviously, that's not what you meant. And yeah. I even figured that out during the week, but it was such gold that we could mine for the show. We had, you know, had to go ahead with it. You know, it's
I think the thing that bugged me the most was the, I know you want your privacy or whatever. It was like, what?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I think a lot of times, you know, people joke, but we don't know them, so we don't get that little sense
yeah.
of humor. You know what I mean? But
sure.
I just got to say that, you know, I listened to this voicemail several times, and I detected no tone of sarcasm, so I really...
And you seem to have a lot of free time.
Damn it! Ah! Busting my balls again. I thought everything was okay between us now. Can you believe this? No, I'm kidding. Keep listening. Love it.
And we'll keep using your drop.
Yeah.
All right, guys.
Babies.
Let's
just
check
like
out
that.
Entertainment! All right, guys, what came out today? What's in the theater, Bill, came out today?
All right, what came out today
was Funny
is
People.
Funny People.
That come out yet?
Dun, 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 dun,
is that
duh.
Next week?
G-Force.
Well. Now, let me ask
yes.
you this. Do the animals at any time talk in Ebonics or whatever, you know?
Yes, there is one played by Tracy Morgan, so...
Okay.
But it's just Tracy Morgan's voice. It's not really
okay, yeah.
Ebonics, is it?
True.
Well, I don't know.
Tracy Morgan
it's just Tracy Morgan.
Ebonics.
Right.
He's Sam. I think Sam Rockwell's in it, too, is one of the... You know what? And so is... Zach Galifianakis.
I was talking to you about this, about Funny People, the new Judd Apatow movie. And what I was saying was, you know, I'm just going to say my opinion based on the commercials was it doesn't look funny to me, or at least not yet. I mean, the movie could be very well funny, but the way they're advertising it, and, you know, don't, like, put Jonah Hill front and center, first of all.
Oh, my God.
It doesn't look that funny.
If I see one more commercial with him, I'm going to move to California and hunt him down and possibly slap him.
My favorite stuff in Knocked Up was the group of guys at home, you know, who were all, you know, talking or whatever and ragging on each other and that kind of thing. But, I mean, the movie may be funny. I'm just saying the commercial doesn't make it look funny. And don't call a movie that's supposed to be funny, Funny People. Because then you're like, what if it's not funny? Not so funny people, you read in the paper.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Or maybe it's supposed to be like a play on it. Like, Funny People, but they aren't funny. Kind of thing.
I was thinking about Tom Hanks and Punchline, movie that's not funny, really.
No, oh my God, is that movie unfunny.
Punchline, Tom Hanks, I'm there! That sounds hilarious! Let's go see it! And then you're just like, wow, why is Sally Field in this movie?
What's funny about that, it's such an odd conundrum. It's like she's telling all these jokes in a stand-up routine, and everybody's cracking up, but you're watching the movie, and you're not laughing.
You know what it kind of reminds me of is, remember that TV show Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip where they were doing like a live Saturday Night Live type show, and they would show them like rehearsing. Every skit or sketch they did looked awful and so unfunny. And it was just like, we're supposed to be, you know, and people, they would have the actors or other people like going, oh man, this is gold, man. This is the best. And you're like, what? If they can't even make something funny that's supposed to be funny, that, and we're supposed to just use our imagination. In this world, this shit's hilarious. It's just
they
doesn't
were trying
work.
To replicate what it's actually like at Saturday Night Live. It's just not funny.
Well, but let's see, what else came out today? The Gerard Butler movie that came out.
Yeah, The Ugly Truth with Gerard, or actually it's Jared.
Jared
he says,
Butler?
Yeah, it's Jared Butler.
The only reason I know anything about this movie, Bill, is because on Big Brother, they got to watch the movie.
I know, God.
I thought it was, it's so bad, Bill, when they show the Big Brother people watching the trailer and they're all going,
oh, that looks great.
Oh, woo! You know, they show a clip and, you know, they take it all out of context.
Oh, yeah, way out of context.
Yeah.
It's hilarious.
And I can't stand Katherine Heigl. I don't care how many movies she's in. I don't care how attractive she is. She has quite possibly the worst personality known to man.
I don't even know what to say about Gerard Butler. Hopefully he goes back to, hopefully Gamer's badass, Bill, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. But
I hope it is.
Yeah. I remember you telling me the premise for it. It's like a video game character or something, right?
You know what? I take that back. I don't hope it is. It probably isn't. It looks bad. It sounds bad. I have a feeling it's going to be really bad, but there should be lots of gunplay and violence. And
yeah. It's got to be better than Doom, right?
Everything's got to be better than Doom.
What the hell are you talking about?
Oh, I know. Doom's not that bad, right?
Oh, and if you want to know what I mean by Katherine Heigl as the worst personality in the world, just look for her interview on Letterman this past week. And there you go. Nothing going on there. Just arrogant, nasty. Letterman was trying so hard to make her interesting, and she just shot him down at every turn.
Yeah, that happens a lot. I mean, people, sometimes they're funny or whatever in a movie, reading a script, but in reality, they're not that interesting of people. But we've got a lot of shows to talk about, Bill and Steven. Let's check them out. What do you say?
Loaf of bread, a container of milk, and a stick of butter.
Yeah, okay. Now, do you guys remember on The Bachelorette, I don't know how many, this was like weeks ago with the guy like calling the other guy a joke or whatever, like
Man Code.
Yeah, Man Code, yeah.
There's no reason we shouldn't tie him to a tree and beat the out of him tonight.
Yeah, that guy.
Tie him to a tree, jerk him off.
Yeah.
Very, very gay.
It was cheesy, bro.
So anyway, they have those little follow-up shows where they have everybody around and they just like talk to them about their stint on the show. And this guy was on there and the guy was talking to him about how he creeped the chick out. And he's like, what are you talking about? No, it didn't. You know, he's like in denial about it. And the whole thing is like he kept complimenting her on her ass. You got a great ass or whatever. And she thought it was a little forward. So it's funny how all the women in the audience kind of turn on the guy because he is a douche. But let's go ahead and check this out.
She said you were maybe a little raw. Do you get that?
Do I get? Yeah, I am. I'm a very, like I said, I think that's why I made her feel comfortable at first. You know, I'm very open. I put myself out there at all times, and you always know where you stand with me.
But at the same time, you made Jillian feel very uncomfortable.
I wouldn't say very uncomfortable. Well, I don't think she's very uncomfortable.
She's told me she felt very uncomfortable.
At what point? When? How far into the show?
Oh, my God.
Let's talk about the Vancouver date.
The Vancouver date.
Like,
okay.
Talking about her ass.
Well, here's the thing. We've been there a month now. At that point, complimenting the girl's ass to me after a month.
But, ladies, is that a compliment?
We'd already talked about her eyes, her personality. We'd covered everything else. So
we covered everything else.
The natural progression is.
Wow.
You guys don't like if somebody was to come up and say, you have a great ass.
Nah, come on.
I'm sorry. You guys don't like your ass ever complimented? Maybe I'm off base here.
Maybe the issue's with you ladies over here, huh?
What's happening? You don't like your ass. That's like, what's wrong.
We covered her eyes, her ears, her chin, her eyebrows, her belly button, her toenails. So I was like, I looked down, I go, oh, wait, you got a great ass, too.
She turned around, bing, I saw the ass.
How great was that?
You got a great ass.
Yeah, I don't know. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I don't know.
Well,
what the hell is that?
Well, I don't know.
Well, that's from Michael and Michael Have Issues.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I don't know. No, it's okay. Now, let's talk about Big Brother real quick. I don't want to get too involved in Big Brother because what happened this week was pretty awesome where Ronnie tried to be this guy who was playing both sides and manipulating everyone. He got really cocky, and then they started
master game player.
They started talking to each other and realized what a douche he was and what he was doing, and they called him on it, and he was like, you know, I'm not going to respond to any of these accusations. And then, like, locked himself in the HOH room for how many nights in a row?
Like, 3 nights.
And that stuff was hilarious. That guy Russell was harassing him every time he saw him. But before
what was great was what they didn't show on the show was this incredible mob mentality when everybody found out that he was lying to them. I mean, they all just ganged up on him, and he looked like just stunned that he was found out. And this lasted for like 3 hours. They showed like 2 minutes of it on the show, and not even the best parts.
Yeah, they didn't cover a lot of it, did they?
No. They just glossed over the stuff. It was great, great feat. I was watching the whole thing just totally enwrapped by it, and they just glossed over it on the show. They had no idea what to do. Possibly the worst producers on a reality show.
Well, it's just like, it's kind of like me with the Hell's Kitchen clip. There's so much gold here. How do I edit this into 3 minutes?
Well, you know, they had to, instead of showing more of the fight, what did they choose to show? Them practicing that stupid skee ball thing.
Yeah.
Like, that was real important to the whole, crux of the thing.
That was a little weird. Maybe they spent so much time on building that, they're like, we got to give some airtime to this thing, this apparatus. Now, let's check this out. This is when Ronnie first wins the HOH, and what a big dork he is, and how excited he gets over. Whenever you win the HOH bill, you get your own presents, like food and candy and pictures, and you also get toys sometimes and CDs, right?
Yeah, everybody, you get, that's a big thing. What music do you get that it creates that that change in the monotony of the house,
Yeah.
You go to the room, listen to something.
Not being able to hear music for a long time and then getting like your favorite CD, that'd be like, oh,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Or, sometimes they wake them up every morning with music, but it's songs that everyone hates.
Right. Oh, yeah, you're right about that. It's annoying songs. Now
let's go. Be what? Like,
Wham or something like that.
Mickey. Or like Boom Boom Pow.
Mickey. All right, let's check this out.
Oh my gosh, it was so tense. I didn't think I could even breathe. Half of the house thinks that I voted to evict Shima when really I voted to evict Brayden. I'm going to hell. I vote to evict Brayden. I don't want them to know that, so that I remain safe. I'm going to throw Michelle under the bus and blame her for that vote.
Which Clicks photo does America think would most likely be missing from the yearbook? Ronnie?
Offbeats.
That is correct. Congratulations, Ronnie. You are the new head of household.
When I won HOH and Jesse put the key around my neck, it was amazing. It was like Emperor Palpatine going, oh, I now dub you Darth Ronnie.
Who wants to see my HOH room?
Yeah, who wrote that line for him?
Yeah.
Woohoo! Let's go!
There we go. Yeah, your dad is hot, Ronnie.
Oh my god, look at him! Chubby cheeks.
As you can tell, I've always been a geeky looking kid. It's me and my dad when I was in college. Oh my god! This is my wife and my little Molly Kitty.
Oh.
Isn't that adorable? And I said I'd never cry.
You got the hookups, dude.
Check the CD.
Legally Blonde the musical.
Huh?
Yeah, it was a little weird. Legally Blonde the musical. I mean, hey, man, whatever puts a smile on your face, Ronnie.
Oh, is this the giant bubble wand? Giant bubble wand!
What?
He was so excited.
A bubble maker! A bubble maker! Oh my god, I got a bubble maker!
This guy's straight?
He's pretending to be straight, but he seems very effeminate to me.
Yeah. Bubble maker and Legally Blonde the musical. He's about as straight as Isaac Mizrahi.
Oh. Yeah.
My little Molly Kitty.
Oh, little Molly
I'm
Kitty.
I'm sorry. Any guy that obsesses about a cat. So, you're secretly gay if you're not out.
The funniest thing is when they were all against Ronnie or just like, he's full of shit. He's been manipulating everyone. He's probably lying. He's probably not even married. And Jeff goes, and who the hell's cat is that? And that picture.
Oh, that cracked me up.
It's like, whose cat is that? Because that's obviously
not his kid. That was whenever the argument happened and Ronnie was up on the balcony of the loft and everybody's yelling at him that he's the rat. Jeff out of nowhere goes, whose effing cat is that?
I love that. Giant bubble wand! Holy shit, everybody!
Somebody, we're going to have so much. Went, you know what? I'm going to go upstairs and break that effing bubble wand.
Darth Ronnie.
And I said this out loud to my wife. We were watching this, and when he goes Darth Ronnie, I go, more like Run, Run, Binks. Huh, Steven? Huh?
Wow.
Misa, loser!
Meets a nerd. And don't, you know, like you were joking, Steven, like, who fed him that line? I can see the producer saying, say something kind of like in the geek world that you would feel like how you felt. Like, do you feel of, you know, you're a huge Mario fan or something? He's like, no, I'm going to use Star Wars. And I'll just...
Nobody uses Star Wars references.
Excuse me.
Yeah, but that was
those
just
producers,
like...
they so coach them into their answers.
And what
and
is
they
this?
Said it on the feed before, that they ask them the same thing over and over again, different ways,
right.
So that they can use different cuts and different takes.
You know, it'll say, like, Russell...
So if you were a Star Wars character, how would you feel?
Russell will say martial artist or MMA fighter. And it says with Ronnie, it says video game expert. And I'm like, what?
Yeah,
what?
Expert my ass.
What the hell's a video game expert? Like, he's a guy on the hint line at Nintendo or something? I mean, what is it?
He's on the front lines of the Wiimote development.
It's like, hey, what's the god mode on Ikari Warriors on Nintendo, Ronnie? Do you think he knows that, Bill? Because you'd have to be
an expert.
He
uses the 30 lives code for Contra.
Yeah, Contra! That's what I was thinking of. Damn it!
Well...
Ah, okay. Now, Bill, let's go ahead
and... Was that his cat?
Yeah, that's Molly Kitty. My headphones are driving me friggin' bonkers, so I'm sorry if it's making all these pops.
Just fix them. Wait a second, what's going on over there? He's
my
all by himself
kitty.
Over there.
Wait, I'm calling.
My little Molly Kitty.
Molly Kitty.
Well.
Come here, little Molly Kitty. Aw, my little Molly Kitty. Uh-oh. Molly Kitty's pissed.
I think Ronnie did something to that Molly Kitty.
We're going to have to put Molly Kitty down.
Whoa! I don't think so, because Molly Kitty's a female, it sounds like so.
Damn, that's an evil-sounding gunshot there. Now, Bill, let's talk about The Colony on Discovery Channel. I hope everyone checks this out, because it's really cool. Now, here's what it is. Basically, the show is an experiment. It's a post-apocalyptic simulation where they take a group of people who all have different backgrounds. One guy is an engineer. Another guy is a doctor. You have a woman who's a martial artist. You have a marine biologist. You have an electrician or something
like that.
There's
a nurse, a hunter,
a mechanic.
Somebody who hunts.
Yeah, mechanic. Yeah,
handyman.
But since this is a simulation that it's post-apocalyptic, they also have marauders, like biker gangs and stuff, who try to break into their compound and steal their shit and stuff.
That's cool.
When it starts out, they only give them a certain amount of time to go into this ramshack grocery store to find supplies, like ramen noodles and shit like that. And they send
them bikers. It's completely destroyed. It reminded me of Fallout 3. There's a part where you have to go into a supermarket, and there's a mission. You have to kill all these marauders and stuff. And I was like, man, that looks exactly like Fallout 3 supermarkets.
Yeah, I thought this chick was like, hey, ramen! And she was like, ramen noodles. And I was like, yeah, that's what the hell we'd be living off of. But, you know, they get these supplies. And then these bikers come in there, and the guys are like grabbing shit away from them and stuff. Just like taking their supplies, and they're trying to get them away. And I thought it was really cool. What I love about this,
the kung fu chick shouldn't stand up and kick his ass.
Well, because it's a simulation, they know they're not real, like you know, weird.
Yeah, but they start getting nutty, man. They sleep deprive them first 30 hours to simulate.
True.
Something terrible happened.
They cut them off from everything, and they didn't let them sleep for like 36 hours. Then they let them go to find food and stuff. When they find this old warehouse, it looked like an old, like, what would you call it, Bill? Like an old mechanic shop or something?
Yeah, like an old manufacturing warehouse.
Right, and it's got all sorts of cool things that they can use later on if they put their heads together. And like, for instance, there's no running water, so they have to go down to the creek and get this nasty-ass water.
The Los Angeles River.
Yeah, it is nasty. So this one guy knows how to filter water. He's like, you put sand and charcoal, and then you pour it down in there, and it filters through, and then we boil the water. Then the water's fine. And so they build this contraption, and it's pretty – all the different people come from diverse backgrounds. It's pretty interesting.
I thought the filtering system was ingenious because he's – you know, what do they lay down charcoal and sand, then charcoal and sand, and charcoal and sand in like a 55-gallon bucket.
Right.
And then they pour all the water in there. And I was just like, wow, you know, I never would have thought of something like that.
And it comes through clear on the other side, and then they boil it. And they even came up – remember they made this cool, like, oven type of thing where it's like a – basically, what is it? Like a metal barrel that they build a fire, and then, like, a piece of metal on top where they can lay food
on it. Yeah, they put diamond plate on top of it.
Right. And then they can make food and stuff. Their canned goods and stuff like that. So it's pretty cool. You know, they're all tired and exhausted. And even one guy, he's like this, what would you call him? Like a maintenance man or some kind of.
Yeah, it's a handyman.
He's a handyman. And he's really cranky, just like grumpy. He's like going from cigarettes and alcohol and coffee and then not being able to have any of it. It's been pretty tough on me. And I was like, oh, that's why.
Yeah, he's that guy.
This dude is craving a cigarette really bad.
Jones and.
Yeah, and he. You know, he's handy to have around, wouldn't you say, Bill? I mean, he is a handy man, but...
He's a handy manny.
Yes, he is. And so it's kind of worth him being a crabby bastard, I guess. He does some... But the first night when they call watch, they build beds and they're all, you know, sleeping in there. They have this guy sneaking up. And didn't you think it was weird? He goes, uh-oh, I just got goosebumps. I never get goosebumps. And there's this dude, like, starts, like, trying to get in or whatever, scaring the shit out of them. And they cut away to different psychologists and stuff who are these some kind of experts, right, Bill? Like
experts in like survival fear, psychology stuff. Right. It's pretty cool.
And they were basically talking about even though these people know it's a simulation, after a while it becomes like it's real in a way where you start acting like it is real. I mean, your surroundings and everything, your lack of sleep and all this. you start to react like you really would. So it's really interesting. Then what happens is the next day they send some more survivors to join them just to see how they would act when they encounter them. And I thought it was pretty interesting because they're not like, hey, some more people for the show. They're like, yeah, really, like,
Who the hell are you?
Yeah, who the hell are you? Don't let them in. You know, the guy's like, don't let them in. You know, show me your pockets. They're like freaking out and stuff. I thought it was pretty cool. Let's check it out.
In any situation of scarcity, assume you're not alone. You will have other survivors to contend with.
Unbeknownst to the first group of six, four new volunteers are being introduced into the experiment, and they're headed to the colony.
Mike. Don't open the door.
What are you doing?
Let them in. They want a place to stay.
Well, let's just have a talk with them.
We're not going to let them in. So let's open the door and talk to them.
Well, then let them in.
It's tough enough with
the
people we got
inside. That's the guy who needs a cigarette really bad.
This isn't a welfare house.
Listen, you're obviously scared about something. You got stuff? Look, one sec, and we'll show you everything, okay?
What?
And I'm not going to lie. I got a small little pocket knife right here.
Drop it. Drop it.
Put it on the ground.
Pat his ass as he comes in the door.
Okay? He ain't coming in the door.
Joey. I'm Joey. What's your name?
Mike.
You're obviously in there. You're in charge. You got a few things. You're worried about a few things.
I am not in charge. I'm just
I didn't
an angry,
say you. I did
ugly
not say-
monkey. I am not in
no,
charge.
You can be whatever you want to be, all right? What I'm saying is you guys are in charge right now because we're on the outside. You're in charge right there. Look at that. What am I going to do right now?
You guys come in. Put all
Thank
your
you
bags.
Very much, okay?
Put all your bags right there.
Absolutely, guys.
Put your jackets right there. We'll all talk.
Joey, I'm George.
George?
I understand we're in a very difficult environment. Resources are limited.
Hey, John. I'm lying here.
But there's four people that didn't have any shelter. They had no place to go. They had no food. They had no water. And they came to our doors asking for a sanctuary. It wasn't a difficult decision. I felt like it was the right thing to do.
Empty out your pockets. Leave all that stuff there, too.
John, they seem nice.
Have a seat on the ground.
No.
How about if we stand over there? I'm not going to sit on the ground while you guys hold pipes. How about that? You wouldn't do the same thing. There we go.
Even ground.
Come on, guys.
Wow, the guy is so cranky, isn't he, Bill?
I know, that's some serious shit, man.
And he
deal with that guy, you know, this is not worth it.
When he goes to this other guy and he's like, hey, while they're over here, go look in their bags and stuff. So he's
that was
there,
so weird.
He's like looking through their clothes and stuff, and the guy's like, hey, dude, what are you doing? He's like, we got to know if you're not carrying a weapon or something. I was like, what?
Yeah, it's like they all become paranoid and just... It's not real, okay?
I know.
Calm down, but they've made it real in their own minds.
And I think it really messed them up when these bikers showed up, like, that night. Like, you can hear them going, and they're, like, banging on the walls and shit, just scaring the crap out of them. And wasn't it cool when it started raining and they cut through the drainage pipe and they had it going into their filters and stuff? They were collecting all this water. Like, we got water for days now because they kept running out of, they didn't have enough water or food, especially when they added more people. So I thought it was really cool.
Yeah, when they added the four people, their water supply went down to one day and they had no way to store it.
Right.
So they searched through the entire place, found this enormous, what was it?
This giant,
like a clear storage drum.
Right. And there's different things that the producers, I guess, put around there. If they looked around, they could find. Like, they find a bunch of car batteries, and the handyman wires them all up and connects them to a light. And there's like, we got power. We just need something to charge it or whatever. So I thought that was
Yeah, and
really
you
cool.
said if you noticed whenever the four were walking into the sanctuary, that outside there was an area with solar panels.
Right. They're walking like we're on some railroad tracks, and they're kind of like each person is introducing them, like, I'm a marine biologist, blah, blah, blah. And as they're walking along these fencing, you see some solar panels just like laying there. I'm just like, dude, solar panels. You guys need that shit.
That'll charge your batteries.
But it looks
like... Yeah, so they'll probably find it eventually.
And they do that same thing where they're like, this season on the colony, and they showed all this stuff, and they show more like bikers and stuff harassing them. It just looks...
It looks like they actually... The bikers actually break in.
And they're like stealing
the
their
colony.
Shit. Yeah, and you gotta think... I like how they're doing it realistically. Like, in realistically... These people, instead of working to find your own food, if you know some people that are weaker than you have food, there's going to be people that just try to take it, especially.
Yeah, and that's, I was telling you when I was watching it, I was like, when these guys, when these marauders show up, do not, I mean, they're like announcing themselves by going, everybody up, everybody, you know, and it's like, no, stay as quiet as possible. Act like there's no one there. They'll lose interest.
And the,
you know, it's just.
The first night, the handyman wants to go out there and confront them, and they're like, no. And I was thinking, like, if this was real, he went out there, they'd beat the guy to death or something, you know?
Yeah. Or or let the guy, you know, break in and then take him and keep him as a prisoner. Or if it was real life, kill him.
Yeah, or eat him, you know, become
Or
cannibals.
Eat him. I hear it's delicious.
They're low on food. Biker. Delicious.
Yeah, they don't have enough Vienna sausages there.
They're all sun-baked from riding in the sun all day, so it's like jerky. Biker jerky.
I just love the fact that in a post-apocalyptic world, immediately, dude, let's get on some motorcycles. It's like, I don't know how to ride, guys. Can we find an old, like, Chevette or something I could drive around in, something like that?
No, those things get terrible gas mileage.
Now, Bill, let's go ahead and take a break, and we'll be right back and talk about Hell's Kitchen. What do you say?
All right.
And it looks like the feed's working, right?
I believe it is, yes.
All right, we'll be right back, everybody.
Giant Bubble Wine!
What's this stuff? Some cereal. It's probably good for you. I'm not going to try it. Let's get Mikey. Yeah. He won't need it. He hates everything. He likes it. Hey, Mikey!
Regular, cinnamon, and raisin life. Nutritious, delicious.
Hello, Kraft Company. About your macaroni and cheese.
Hello, Manny.
We think it should be called Kraft Cheese and Macaroni, because it tastes the cheesiest.
What'd they say?
They have to change a million boxes.
Kraft Macaroni and Cheese Dinner, made with more cheese than any other brand. That's why it tastes the cheesiest.
There's one.
A million boxes? I think we're going to need more crayons.
Kraft Cheese and Macaroni, the cheesiest.
You're cool, you're crisp, you're hard to resist, you're right.
You're fresh and delight.
Ooh, you're Kevin the Tribe. You're the singular style, you're the reason to smile. You're clever, you're neat, you're never too sweet.
Ooh, you're Kevin the Tribe. You tickle, you tickle, you make me laugh. Ooh, you're Kevin the Tribe. Ooh, you're Kevin the Tribe.
My angel, I sewed for days. Now I deserve a little praise. I thank me very much with Andy's Candies. For the program I created, I ought to be appreciated. So I thank me very much with Andy's Candies.
Andy's Creme de Mint. You'll be amazed by just how much chocolatey mint taste we packed into that perfect little piece.
I thank me very much.
The perfect little thank me. Andy's Creme de Mint and four other flavors.
Now, instead of the chip going in the dip's going in the chip. Introducing Pringles Sour Cream and Onion Potato Chips.
Where's my dip?
It's in the chip.
Nice. New Pringles Sour Cream and Onion. The rich taste of sour cream and tangy onions in every scrumptious bite.
Oh, I love this dip.
Even better in the chip.
New Pringles Sour Cream and Onion. So delicious, 'cause the dip is in the chip.
Yeah, here's the ketchup and the brownie.
Here's the bologna. Here's the
butter.
Wait, it's the parquet margarine.
Butter.
Your parquet.
Butter.
Well, taste it. Mmm, this tastes great.
great.
It is great. It's butter.
Parquet.
Oh, brother.
Taste parquet margarine. The flavor says
butter.
Enjoy extra sugar-free gum.
You get extra flavor.
Extra, the only leading sugar-free gum with NutraSweet, gives you extra refreshing flavor that lasts an extra, extra, extra long time.
Extra flavor for that extra long ride. Extra flavor for that extra long ride. When you chew it, extra, the extra fresh flavor lasts an extra, extra, extra long time.
Extra lasts extra long.
If you love a kid who loves peanut butter, you ought to know about the difference.
The difference is just the nutty taste that says you.
It's the only one for your special one with that taste for peanutty.
When it comes to these little ones, I could never be too choosy. So I've tried all the big brands and found Jif tastes more like fresh roasted peanuts, bursting with that just cracked open peanutty taste.
The peanutty
taste.
Sonny, I want you to do me a favor. I want you to help your mother with the dishes.
You can't do that, Godfather.
I want you to clean up your room.
Sorry, Godfather.
Okay. I'm going to make you an offer you can't refuse. Smooth, creamy Jell-O pudding.
Jell-O Instant Pudding and sugar-free Jell-O Instant Pudding. Kids love them, and they're ready in just 5 minutes.
Godfather, you have my every loyalty.
Hi, it's me again. When you go to the ocean, it's good to take fruit roll-ups and fruit wrinkles. The fishes like to eat fruit wrinkles because they're bite-sized and they're chewy. And the fruit roll-ups are so delicious and so stretchy, they can even keep an octopus occupied. They put lots of real food and fun in fruit roll-ups and fruit wrinkles, so I don't mind sharing, even if it's with my little sister.
Wake up to the hot taste of Kellogg's Hot Tarts.
So hot, they're cool.
Fillings give Pop-Tarts an incredible taste. So hot, they're cool.
I taste so cool, so cool.
I'm gonna have me some fun. 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 I'm gonna have me some fun.
You got the hookups, dude.
Oh, hell yeah, we got the hookups. Hey, Bill, how's it going?
Excellent.
All right, let's get right into the Hell's Kitchen. Now, I have two clips here. One is short, the other's long. That's all I'll say. But let's go ahead and talk about this much of Hell's Kitchen. It starts off, and you automatically, every season, I don't know how they top it every season with these train wrecks of people. My favorite is Lovely. My name is
Lovely.
I love when Love is like, I gotta take a break. I'm really tired. I drank 3 bottles of water. She's like, what are you gonna do?
In 45 minutes, yeah, it took her to drink 3 bottles.
What are you gonna do, Lovely? If you're tired and you don't feel good, you gotta go sit down. I thought that was great. But there's this one guy. What is his name? Is it Jonathan or
Joe?
Joe or... The military guy, Joe. He's got a major attitude.
Van? Or
no, Van is the Texan guy.
Oh, okay,
but
okay.
It's the other guy. He's like...
Joe is the tall, dark-headed one with the military haircut.
Are you sure it's
the
Joe?
The one from Boston.
Boston, yeah. But yeah. First, there's Louie. Louie's part of this first clip, and in the first episode, the first hour, he's the one that Gordon Ramsay kicks out because he keeps messing up the lamb. And he's like, look at this. What is going on with this?
It's well,
like
I loved his signature dish, biscuits and sausage gravy.
Yeah.
And but the other girl.
You know how tough it is to make biscuits and sausage gravy?
I sell that by the gallons.
What about French toast and some tequila?
I know. Just like,
I love she takes a swig of it and they just show Gordon Ramsay like, what the hell? Like, what?
Don't Who you is this drunken lunatic?
I love when Gordon Ramsay does that. That whoop!
It's like it took you 45 minutes to make French toast.
My favorite is they kept dumping all the pasta in that trash can. He's like, look at this! Look! 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 He's like pulling more and more out. What are you doing? And he told that girl Melinda, he goes, that's undercooked. It's not ready yet. She's like, oh, okay. Dumps it. He's like, what are you doing? That just means finish cooking it. It's undercooked. She's
throw
like,
a little water in there, put it on the stove, finish cooking it.
And that's when they first showed her kind of like pigeon look where she's looking around, yeah, you know?
Deer in headlights look.
And you guys had to have noticed this, that they use that same cutaway like 20 times.
Easily.
They kept showing her again. And he was like, you're pissing me off. You're pissing me off. Because she wanted to answer him.
Well, every time they did it, you know, even though it was, even if it wasn't a redone one, it was the, you know, the same clip. She still had that same blank,
yeah,
friggin' look.
Well, I like when she showed her signature dish, she's kind of like looking, trying to look all sexy for him or something. He's kind of like, what the hell?
Well, there was that other chick, too, yeah, like Lacey, like, you know, I'm so sexy. And it was like,
she's like, I'm hot. And I was like, okay. Okay, manipulative producers, getting them to say that. Well, let's go ahead and check out this first clip because it's gold, Jerry.
Who come the fondants?
Lovely.
Lovely?
Yes, sir.
Wish they're not. Come here. Why are these all cooked? We put it in the oven when the order comes on.
Yes, sir.
We haven't even opened yet and you've cooked them.
That's all we have to work with. We're screwed.
Look at that. Look. Like a hockey puck. Oh, my God. We're not even open yet and you've screwed it up. What a disaster.
That's it, the end.
Yeah. Louis!
Yes, sir.
You just put a lamb in the oven?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
That was hilarious.
Hey, guys, come here, quick, quick, quick. I think you should know Louis's on entrees, and the lamb goes in the oven like that. No salt, no pepper, no seasoning, not even sear.
Sorry.
Louis, why do we sear meat?
It's to lock in the juices, sir.
To give it color. To improve the flavor.
Sorry, sir.
You're a man. There's a primal instinct inside you that knows how to cook meat. You need to find it.
How?
Fish. Over in the blue kitchen, the men have served 8 appetizers.
Service, please.
And Louis is determined to do whatever it takes to send out an entree.
Joseph.
Yes, chef.
You're on the garnish.
Joseph.
Louis's on the meat.
Yes,
Joseph. He's cooking the spinach. Why?
I don't know why. I thought I had to put it all together, chef.
What's your station?
I'm doing lamb and rack of lamb and chicken.
So why are you cooking the spinach?
I thought it went on the plate, sir. I was just trying to get a head start. Maybe Chef Ramsay should just pull the panties out of his something.
Louis!
Yes, sir.
We got enough problems cooking lamb. I don't want you touching the spinach.
Okay. Chef, let me do the lamb. Bring him over here, please.
Listen to me. Yeah.
Yes.
My kitchen.
Absolutely.
My restaurant.
All right.
Hey, and right now, big boy, hey, I'm looking like a idiot.
I got it.
Joseph, we're not at war. We're just in a kitchen. So calm down.
This guy is Dana Carvey-ish.
What is that? Did you bite that? Look! That's one. That's the other. It's on the same table.
Louis lost. He's out of his league.
What's all that lamb here?
Poor
Look
Louis.
At this. Hey, Van. You, hey, Joseph. Look at this. Look. Look. Look.
There's like 30 what pieces of lamb.
Yeah. Just a
Louis.
Pile of
yes,
lamb.
Sir. Get back there. Get out. Yes.
The loud
yes.
music, guys.
Pilot. Hey, get upstairs. Get your backpack.
Can I help? Can I help in
yeah,
the kitchen?
Yeah, you can help me. Help! Get out. Get upstairs. Get your backpack.
Can I help? Can I help in
yeah,
the kitchen?
That's so
get
pathetic.
Out. You can
I help,
me
like,
out?
Clean up
you
or something?
You want me to pack my bags? I'm out. My bags are packed. You can kiss my ass.
Wow. You know what?
He said you can kiss my black ass, right?
Yeah. I really missed that Hell's Kitchen music, didn't you guys?
Overplayed. I missed the whale call.
Oh, wait, that's Top Chef, Bill. That...
All of them use it. All of them.
The cicadas.
Yeah.
Now, we didn't mention yet that Robert from last season comes back. How about
that? Yeah, when
that?
Louis gets kicked out, the chef goes and gets Robert out of the dining room.
Yeah, what do they say that his insurance policy, Robert, is in the dining room?
Yeah, I always thought they were saying that Robert got a new insurance policy, so he was allowed back on the show. Because quite frankly, Robert looks a whole lot less healthy than he did last year.
Well, one thing I was thinking when I saw him, I go, oh, well, at least he got in shape after the last season and his life was in danger, you know.
Swelling of the sac.
That's right. He had swelling of the sac. You guys remember that? Yeah, he doesn't look good.
Elephantitis of the balls.
So he comes back and Ramsay puts him on the chick side, the girls team, the red team. And my favorite is Tennille, the Whoopi Goldberg looking chick. Yeah. And I thought I was
Captain Tennille.
I was all clever, like, hey, she looks like Whoopi Goldberg. Until she references herself, I'm like, can't call her Whoopi now.
No.
If she acknowledges it. No.
She looks like Lafayette with dreads.
She does, from True Blood. Oh, my God.
That's hilarious.
But, man, let's go ahead and check out this other clip. And we've got Van, the guy from Texas, who's got a serious attitude problem. And
yeah, what's with all the attitude problems? Did they not run these people through, like, psychiatric evaluations?
Like Joseph, he's got a problem with people talking to him. And it starts out here. Remember, the men win the shrimp contest where you got to pull the sack off and all that and clean
the
shrimp.
There's lots of sacks.
Yeah, there is.
I know. What's with all the sack?
Swelling of the sack.
Yeah.
It's a freaking sausage fest.
And, you know, I really like shrimp, but I don't want to see anyone do that. I just want it to be cooked.
You know what? And that's the worst thing.
You don't like to see the whole head on the shrimp and everything?
Yeah.
Well, I hate getting dirty shrimp. That's my...
Ugh. Yeah.
People who don't know how to clean. Like taking a bite of it and getting that... You have that dirty track.
Yeah.
What is it? The anal tract or something?
That is...
No, it's just the intestines. It's not actual shit.
I'm sure I've eaten that before.
Oh, I know.
Oh,
I have.
So have I, yeah.
But it's pretty good. It's delicious.
Not the black part.
It tastes like cocktail sauce.
Well, I don't know.
Well, now I'm gonna miss Louie because he had a lot of fight in him.
You can kiss my ass.
Yeah, there's quite a difference between that and can I help in the kitchen?
He's like, can I help clean up when you guys are done or something? He said,
I'll
like
wash
Ronnie.
Your feet and dry it with my hair.
Giant bubble wand.
All right, well let's check this out. And my favorite part is they go to the reward. When they win the little challenge. And that guy, Joseph, he's like, what are we doing sitting around here eating food for? You know, I'm not here to do this shit. I'm here to learn.
That's like, did you not watch last season? You know, it's like every time we say this, the people seem to never have seen the show before.
But do you guys notice in the cutaways in his diary room or whatever, he's wearing a flat cap? That's what I think is hilarious.
I hadn't noticed that. Oh, God.
No, I didn't notice he had a flat cap on.
Yeah, let's check this out.
So he's one of those assholes.
Each and every service, you're going to get stronger. Have you any idea how much I've taken in the kitchen? And the more I took, the better I've become.
What am I learning by shooting Nothing. What gets accomplished by running your mouth? Not a thing. I didn't come here for lunches and all this, you know. That's not what I'm here for. I'm not going to lose my eye on the prize.
We're fired up too, man. I'm not relaxing because I get to have a nice lunch with the chef.
It's good to get out, but I don't really care.
Joseph, he's a complete He's a little hot-headed. You know, he's being a little too intense in the way he disrespects Chef Ramsay.
Is that all right, Chef?
The GP up there?
In comes the boat with that crazy Belgian with the sock down his pants and a sweater over his shoulder. It was ridiculous.
Sock down his pants? What?
I give it up to JC.
He's got a big dick.
He's just got style.
Can I have a rag?
Can you have a rag? Can you
Yes,
yeah. Yeah, and stop asking me for things. Hey, when you sat having a number two and there's no toilet paper, who the gets that for you?
I get it, Chef.
Move your arms.
Yes, Chef. I really need to stop asking that man for stuff.
Chef Ramsay, how we doing?
We're ready.
Let's do it. All right, we're ready.
I want to talk about this for a second. Van does this thing where they have to grill shrimp out on the floor in front of people's tables. And one, who's that nerdy guy who I call Sheldon from Big Bang Theory? You know, the nerdy guy with the glasses?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Who's the other character?
He looks
Sheldon
like that kid that was on... Project Runway.
Yeah, he does a little bit, but he messes up the scallops. Oh, one funny part, he's like, here we go, scallops. And he's like, whoa, what are you doing? He's like, I didn't call for scallops.
No one asked for scallops.
Yeah. So he kind of messes up. And now Van, he's out there talking to customers on the floor. And the guy, the nerdy guy comes out there. He goes, hey, I messed up. It's going to be a little longer. He's like, what are you doing? Come on, hurry up. And he does it like right in front of the customers, which is hilarious. And Van, he kind of reminds me of the Durhams, like that we used to work around. Remember those guys? These kind of muscle head guys. It's kind of dopey. It's a man. They just rather punch you in the head than, talk.
Yeah.
Let's check
That's how they communicate by physical violence.
Right.
You've got better vision than anybody with those four eyes of yours. Look at that. It's stone cold and it's raw. Can you cook?
Yes, chef.
What can you cook?
Anything, chef.
You are dreaming. Move, Tonya.
Maybe he can cook at home, but he can't cook online. He's no concept.
Ladies first. Come on, bro.
The scallops weren't ready.
It's like,
I'll
come
get them
on,
out.
Bro.
Now, let's go.
He was just running around like a little fly, old Tony boy.
Scallops are down, chef. Flip it. Go fast. Go.
John Philippe has some words of wisdom for Van.
Listen to me.
I'm listening.
Look at watch.
I'm working.
Yeah, listen. I'm going to give you some.
I'm in action here. What is going on with these two? What is going on? I'm telling you,
both of you, calm down. And I need one shrimp special urgently, but keep it cool in front of these customers, and you keep it cool. Is that clear?
Okay,
yes, sir. Let's go.
Can you just listen to me?
No, I'm just trying to keep Hell's Kitchen going, and JP's all on my. How y'all doing tonight?
Chef is going to the wrong table. Oh no.
Back! Come here! I'm gonna go get yelled at right now, but I'll be right back. Yes, chef.
That's the red table. You're running the blue. Hey, Bozo, give me one scampi special on the right table.
Yes, chef.
Thank you. Hey, what's the matter between you two?
There's a language barrier there.
What do you mean there's a language barrier? He's speaking English, you
I know, this is from Texas.
Watch your eyebrows.
Van is working.
Wait, did you notice right there when he said that? He's Texan, that Gordon Ramsay was smiling right there.
Yeah.
It cracked him up. That was funny. And what was with the weird flute after that? I don't know.
Do people in Texas walk around playing flutes?
All the time.
Yeah.
Same band, by the way. They were loving it. They were eating it up. It's all about charisma and finesse. Come on. All right.
They kept knocking the shit on the floor.
I wasn't having when I dropped them pants, but they still loved it.
All right. We're going to try that again.
Oh.
Yeah, they loved it.
I'm sorry.
He's going to yell at me here in a minute.
I gotta go get a pan, okay? I will be right back.
In trouble.
Behind.
Don't run in the restaurant, please.
John, please. Better stop trying to tell me what to do, I know that.
I'm going to explode, huh? I'm going to explode, my friend. Listen to me.
Whoa.
JP, he's about to, pound him down.
Damn.
Listen to me.
I cannot believe I'm seeing this.
Listen to me. He's gonna hit him. We have a problem here.
Hit him.
Don't touch me, bro.
Get out of my face.
Hey. Listen to me.
And there's a showdown between a Texan and a Belgian.
Hey. We have a problem here.
Forcing Chef Ramsay to step in.
Stop. Hey, both of you, come here. Both of you, come here. Now.
I'm going to you up, bro. We can get it down. Hey, it is going to be a first-round knockout.
What is going on? He's got no respect
for the English.
We're for the customers now.
I'm sorry, chef. He's not respecting this dining room, chef.
Bitch, shut the up. He thinks he's some kind of boss man around here. He ain't nothing.
Calm down. Listen to him. And you, pay a little bit of respect. And if you do your job, and you do your job, we'll come together. Because right now, you're turning the whole place upside down. Are you going to do it?
If he listens to
you. Are you going to do it?
Yes, I will if you listen.
Are you going to do it?
Yes,
chef. Last chance.
Ladies first.
Gentlemen. Joseph. Let's be honest. That's a pretty sorry battalion you've got there, isn't it?
Right now it is.
Who's the first nominee for the men?
They can speak for themselves, but they know who they are.
Hey, smartass. I asked you to tell me. Who's the first nominee and why?
No problem. Tony and Andy.
Listen. I know you may be slightly stupid.
first nominee and why?
First nominee and why? Tony. He knows why. We sat down as a group. Let everyone pick each other.
He knows why. You
know? No peer pressure.
I love that guy.
We're men.
Just, what do you want, a medal?
What do you want me to say? What do you want me to say? They know who they are. We chose as a group, and they stood out, and they said they belong there. Stand up, and they know who they are.
Listen, you chippy idiot. I asked for one nominee and why. Plain English. And you're mouthing off, and you couldn't answer me. Now, can you just tell me, in plain English, the first nominee and why he's nominated? Is that clear?
That's clear.
Thank you.
Oh, dear. The
unbelievable. One simple request, who and why, and you make a big song and dance about it.
I ain't no bitch, Chef. I don't give a I ain't no bitch.
What?
I'm not no bitch.
Wait, can I just say, can the music friggin' shut the hell up already?
I know.
Jesus.
They overdo it on everything, on Hell's Kitchen, Kitchen Nightmare, Top Chef. It's just too much music.
God, it's just like every single word, it just won't shut up. It's pounding on my head. Just shut up. All right, let's finish it.
Best out of you. You got to look past
bring
this.
The best out of me.
Yeah, show some respect.
Shut your mouth. What you doing?
Whoa.
Come on, man.
I'm talking here. I don't give a about you. I'm going to come here for you.
You want to be an executive chef?
Shut your mouth.
Man, I love this guy.
God. God.
You signed up to learn and
shut
grow and
your mouth.
Dude.
Okay. Answer the question.
We keep talking like this out in the parking lot. I'm going to... What do you want me to say?
I ask the questions. You give the answers.
That dog. I ain't here for that.
Oh, my God.
Want jacket? Want to talk some... Let's go step outside. I ain't here for that, dog.
And we got to wait till next week to see what happens.
Did he just whip out, I ain't here for that dog?
I ain't here for that dog. And I love he pulls off his jacket. I'll give you your jacket. Wow.
It's a little pitchy, dog.
I ain't no bitch.
I love when Gordon Ramsay goes, what? Like,
yeah,
what?
Yeah, it's just so out of nowhere. Like, what the hell are you even thinking? Is there anything going on up there?
That's the best part. He says, I ain't no bitch. He goes, what? He goes, you know, let me reiterate that. I'm not no bitch.
And then telling a girl to shut her effing mouth.
Yeah, shut your effing mouth. I'm not here for you.
I wish Gordon would have said, that's a double negative, sir. So that means you are a bitch.
I ain't no bitch. I'm not no bitch.
That guy's a genius. I can't wait to see
that. We could totally use those drops and turn it into a rap.
You know, next week they showed the previews, and I think Tennille was like, are you serious? You're going to beat up Gordon Ramsay. Oh, I can't wait. I could honestly see Gordon Ramsay just headbutting the dude, like going,
Bish! Oh, yeah, that would be classic. Just knock him out. Lay him out right there.
But what I love about Gordon, you know, he's on a show. It's his show. He's not going to back down from the guy. He just walks right up to him. You're like, what are you going to do?
If you heard it just before it ends, he goes, shut off the cameras.
Nice.
So I think he's going to he's having them shut off the cameras. He's going to take them aside and go, are you serious? Are you just putting this on for television, or are you actually an idiot? Because I don't think he wants to get into it on camera. I think that Ramsay has a little more gumption than that.
So we'll see how he handles it with a lot of background music, by the way.
Yeah, it's got to be super loud.
Now let's talk about Cake Boss, guys, because you know, this wasn't a very eventful episode. We learned that every year they Carlo's Bakery, they do a cannoli day, right?
Oh, cannoli day.
I love me some cannoli.
They sell little cannolis for 25 cents a pop. But the only thing that's entertaining about the show is when somebody like Danny screws something up. Am I right? And who's
what did you do?
Well, what's the old guy's name? I forgot. There's some old guy that worked there with his dad.
It's like something with an M.
Yeah, let's go ahead and check this out. It's awesome. Lots of yelling.
Every year, Carlos, we do a cannoli throwback event. Oh, for one day, we have a stand outside, and we sell cannolis for what we sold them for in 1964.
25 cents cannoli.
All right, who's
that? Just a little way to give back to the community, to let them know that we're here and we love them and we appreciate them. We got to make lots of cannolis, and we got to make one giant cannoli. I want to use that as a display. I think it'll be cool. Joey, send me up that sponge.
Huh?
Please, for the 24-inch round. The plan is to do vanilla and chocolate layers with chocolate fudge.
This is the one, right?
Well, where's the other ones?
Just got the one.
Who said one? One cake. I need three pieces for this.
They only made the one. The other two I got to put in the oven now.
Uh-oh.
I said to make three pieces. What happened? This is a 24-inch round. It's not a cupcake. By the time they take this cake mix, put it in the oven, bake it, let it cool down, you're talking 4 or 5 hours.
He told me just to make one. Frankie, you told me to make one.
He's got
to
make a cake. What is he going to do? When do we ever say make one? I said, Sal, buddy wants three of the biggest form we have round.
Yeah, I only heard you.
I know. You screwed up.
But no, Frankie's fault.
It's my fault, Mike.
Yeah, your fault.
So are you the liar or you the liar? You don't want to be responsible. You don't want to be responsible. You don't want to be responsible. I was busy. I said, Frankie, just go down, tell Sal, throw 324s in the oven, one vanilla, two chocolate.
Between Frankie and Sal.
Why did you lower your voice, man? Why are you yelling at him?
I should be able to make 324-inch sponge without me having to get aggravated.
Put the sponge in the oven. Get it to me as fast as you can. At this time, there's nothing else
we
can do.
So we got it all under control. Don't worry about it. You're going to have the sponge. Let's go. All right?
Let's go. Yeah, black and white.
Okay, everything's calmed down now.
Every year for the cannoli event, I make this giant cannoli.
It's time to scratch records.
You got the pipe?
Yeah.
Hey, Danny, you mixed the cannoli cream?
Yeah.
It's 90 degrees in the back. The thing is out. It's sitting
here
on the floor.
Here we go again.
You don't leave cannoli cream out in the oven room. It's going to spoil. You're telling me that you left the cannoli cream in the back in 90 degrees and you didn't put it in the refrigerator?
Whoa. As you call me upset, we had to do the...
Yeah, but you should have told me that you weren't finished with it.
That's what I said to you.
You didn't tell me that you weren't finished. What did you say? I'm going to finish the cream. Danny, it's 100 degrees. You got to do something. You got to finish it.
Oh, now it's 100 degrees.
Ah, it got hot in there.
What did you do?
It got really hot in there, didn't it?
Yeah, very fast. It increased 10 degrees in two seconds.
Awesome! What the hell was that?
They have a DJ playing the music in the background. That's Stretch.
Awesome.
DJ Stretch.
I'm not no bitch.
Oh, I want to see Joseph go to work for Buddy.
I know.
He's like, hey, I thought I wanted that cake. What are you doing? There's only one of these?
I ain't no bitch.
Whoa.
And now, then, you need to play I Ain't No Bitch, Record Scratch, and then I'm Not No Bitch,
I Ain't No Bitch.
Yeah, there you go.
I think we could put together a rap or something, Bill. What do you think?
Totally.
That would totally be awesome. So basically, I'm thinking they aired the most entertaining episodes of Cake Boss early in the season. Now they're making... You know, I did think the dragon cake he made was pretty cool with the giant dragon heads, but honestly...
Yeah, that wasn't bad. I didn't, it was stupid, but it was a decent cake.
The coolest thing about the cake, the heads, he didn't even make. The chicks did. And he's like, you totally screw me. The cake, the dragon heads are too big. And there's like, boom... And they're like, well, what if you put it in a different... Oh, you really think I could do that? And then they end up doing exactly that.
Yeah.
But here's what I want to ask about. What's with all of the Rice Krispie cereal treats that he uses to
fill out the cake?
Because I asked this last week, Bill. In fact, I think we've asked it every week. What part do you take the knife? Because the people ask. The people at this thing ask. They go, can we eat this? And he goes, yeah, you can eat it. Because I go, where do I make the first cut at in this thing? Because there's like Rice Krispie
shit. I thought this was supposed to be a friggin' cake.
Yeah, how do I eat this shit? It's like, where does the knife go? You cut right into Rice Krispie treats, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, I want some... I think Rice Krispie treats and fondant are just delicious together.
Whoa.
whoa, hold on. Now, Jesse James is a dead man, Bill.
He is.
Yes, he is. This week he chose to race. He chose to side hack.
He went side hacking.
He did the sidecar racing. Have you ever seen that, Steven?
No.
Where there's one guy driving and there's another guy like leaning in different directions and shit,
yeah.
Just holding on for dear life. It's the craziest shit you've ever seen. Now Jesse wants to do this because he's crazy. He's got a death wish. Yeah. He's a dead man.
He's gonna die doing this.
And the funniest thing about this, I don't know what Jesse's deal is with drifting, but you have to drift around corners in this type of racing, and he doesn't like drifting. He thinks it's lame. And I thought
it's
this is kind
losers.
Of fun. Let's go ahead and check this clip out, and it starts out with the dramatic read-through by the narrator. We all love him. He's awesome. And then Jesse's wisdom on drifting. Let's check it out.
This is Super Sidecar.
Awesome.
One of the most dangerous forms of motorcycle racing in the world.
Holy shit.
You can die just watching it.
Whoa, a lot of explosions.
Dozens have lost their lives to this fringe sport.
Your ass turns ground meat.
But that's not going to stop Jesse James from racing against the
this
best
show
super sidecar
lot of music
in North America.
That's Hell Kitchen.
The announcer needs
even
to be
though
louder than the
he's
music.
Never driven a sidecar in his life.
Oh, my God.
And since Jesse has only 1 week to prepare for a race that takes years to master, he'll need to focus on sliding through the corners first. It's called drifting, and it's a skill perfected by only the best drivers in the world.
Drifting is lame. It's one of the lamest things I've ever seen or tried to do. It may look cool, but it's not. I think for, like, dorks like the producers that drive around, you know, in Range Rovers, that's pretty wild. It's crazy. Chirp. Whoa, you feel that?
Jesse arrives at the El Toro Air Station to reluctantly learn to drift from the master.
Cue guitar riff.
World drifting champion Reese Miller.
What's up?
How you doing? Good to see you.
I'm good. How you doing?
Good.
Reese Miller is probably one of the best precision drivers in the world. He's just a wheel man, you know. He can get in anything and drive it.
To win a sidecar race, drifting is an invaluable skill. It allows a driver to maintain speed on corners as they head back into a straightaway.
We'll accelerate through the gears first, second, third, do a handbrake right-hand entry. So it'll be a clutch in, turn in, handbrake. And then once you come off the handbrake, downshift. And then we'll slide through this first corner. That'll be the first element of this course. And then we'll go into a second gear roll to a transfer left and run this inner oval around these boards.
What?
And then we'll shut that down.
So you're going to teach me how to drift?
Yeah.
Awesome. It's a lifelong dream.
Such
I don't know
asshole.
What we're doing first. I wasn't really paying that much attention. I'm going to ride with him, and we're going to do a little car triple axle or some kind of so, whatever. I'm only giving today about that much attention.
Jesse may want to give Reese a little more attention, because like it or not, mastering drifting could be the one thing that earns him the win in the sidecar race.
Jesse needs to take this seriously, or he could die. I get the feeling Jesse James just wants to get on the bike and just drive it. He doesn't want to do all this shit. It's the same like driving in Alaska, or, you know, I don't want to change a tire in the cold. I just want to start riding towards the place that I'm supposed to go.
Yeah.
I don't want to do any research or whatever.
But the producers love to do this to him. They can drive around the Range Rovers, the losers.
And then he...
chirp their tires. Oh, that's cool.
Yes. Did you feel that?
I wasn't really paying that much attention.
So he does the race. The first one, he doesn't do that good. But the second one, he comes in second place. So it's awesome.
Yeah.
He can move on.
And
the
drivers are hilarious. It's such a white trash sport.
Oh.
You just look. One guy has the pink, like this really bad thinning long hair.
Yeah.
It's pink.
And he's got like a slit in his helmet so his pink hair can stick out of it. Did you notice
that? Well,
that's
just badass.
And, you know, they're missing teeth and stuff. It's just like...
Yeah, it's just...
I mean, the shit looks pretty intense and crazy, but I guess they're all crazy. You have to literally be crazy to do it for a living.
Yeah, why the hell... that's exactly it. You have to be crazy to do this. Why the hell would you ever want to lay across the back of a extended motorcycle at 100 miles an hour?
Right.
Whoa.
Yeah. Those goofy adrenaline junkies.
I mean, they're all a bunch of bitches, basically.
I recommend everyone watch the Mystery Science Theater 3000 riff of Side Hacking with Russ Hagen. It's hilarious.
Is it basically this?
Yeah. When I first saw it, I was like, the Jesse James thing, I was like, Side Hacking!
That's what he does.
I just fucked out laughing.
All right, let's talk about bullshit. Yet again, let's talk about bullshit. Now,
it's just so good lately that we have to talk about it every week.
Now, this week they talk about lie detectors. And one thing, you know, just thinking about lie detectors, I've always heard different things about how they're not really that accurate or certain people can beat it. But I've always known that still so many jobs make people take lie detector tests, don't they?
Right.
Or for certain court cases or, I don't know, like if... you know, someone's been accused of stealing something from their job and they're like, well, I'll take a lie detector test to prove that I'm not, you know, whatever. But what they basically explain on this Penslower is bullshit. And what this guy in this clip explains is that it's beatable. And not only that, your results can come out wrong if you're really nervous. Not only that, usually the results that they get from the test aren't from the test itself. It's the guy giving the test making you feel anxious about certain questions. Then when the test is over, he starts, let me talk to you about these results. Now, when I asked you so-and-so, are you sure that's really what you want to go with? And it kind of like makes you uneasy, and then you kind of confess something. That's really how they get the confession. It's not from the actual test itself. They just use
screwing with your head and using it as a tool to screw with your head.
Yeah, they use it to intimidate you. But let's go. They have this guy on here explaining lie detectors, and I thought he was hilarious. This old guy who's been doing it for years. Let's check it out.
A polygraph examiner is nothing but an asshole with a little training. In order to beat this asshole with a little training, your asshole's got to have a little training.
Nicely done. We like saying asshole, too, and that's no lie. So how do we lie to the detector?
If you duplicate the physical reaction to fear, even though you're not fearful, if you do it, will it show the same reaction on the polygraph? And it does.
According to Doug, the way to duplicate fear is by flexing. Well, we should let Doug tell you. Come on, Doug, tell it slow.
All you do is very slowly tighten up that anal sphincter muscle for about 3 or 4 seconds and very slowly relax it.
We're doing it now. And you're trying it, too.
He's right.
The anal sphincter muscle is surrounded by some of the largest arteries in the body. When you tighten that anal sphincter muscle, it constricts those arteries and causes the blood pressure to increase.
Doug says if you do that during a test, the polygraph registers the response as a lie, making it difficult for the examiner to distinguish lies from the truth.
So for our purposes, what we're going to do is what's called a numbers test.
Gabrielle is asked to pick a number between 1 and 10. She picks 7. During the polygraph test, she is going to deny having picked any number, which means she'll be lying about her number 7. But she'll use the ass clench trick to fool the machine into indicating that she's lying about number 6. So, how did she do?
You have one very intelligent a-hole. So what you was... You lied on number 7 when you said no and showed no reaction whatsoever. You told the truth on number 6, but you showed you was lying, lying, lying.
Did Doug just turn into Gomer Pyle for a second there?
Telling the truth looks like a lie. Telling a lie looks like the truth.
So if a young, untrained woman can learn how to defeat a polygraph in 30 minutes using her asshole, we imagine a trained spy could control the machine well enough to draw a picture of Scooby-Doo.
And, you know, they did this thing where he talked about people who've passed the lie detector test. Like, what was it, a couple of serial killers?
Yeah, that BTK killer, the bind, torture, kill guy, passed it. And there was a couple other ones, too.
So, you know, when that...
And there was one guy that was actually, he was in the Army or something.
He was like
and
in
he,
intelligence or something.
He failed it, even though he told the truth. You know,
yeah,
just,
he wanted to join the FBI, and they did a lie detector test, like questioning him and stuff, and it turned out shaky on certain questions, and it ruined his career, basically. which I thought was interesting. But this one guy, he's doing the test for a girl he wants to marry, but she thinks that he may have cheated on her when he went to Vegas. So he's going to take a lie detector test to prove that he didn't do anything wrong. And the guy's like, so did you touch any of the dancers at the strip club? And he's like, well, you know, maybe a little, whatever. And basically when it sounds like he totally got screwed, doesn't it?
Because- He did. And that guy administering the test was just an asshole of epic proportions.
He may have like pecked the dancer on the neck or something.
Yeah.
So when the girl comes in, he goes, there was some sexual touching.
Inappropriate sexual contact.
Right.
Which makes it sound like the guy fracked her.
Yeah.
You know, it's just,
and she starts crying and she's like, you know, one part that made me laugh, she goes, you know, F you know, go to hell. I don't want to F and see you again. And Penn goes, watch your language, young lady.
Yeah. But what's funny is he goes, I have a feeling we actually may have saved them from a mistake.
Yeah.
Yeah. The girl obviously has trust issues and she doesn't look like the brightest bulb.
If some girl makes you take a friggin' lie detector test, if you come to the point where you don't trust somebody enough where they need a lie detector test, don't marry them. Don't be in a relationship because you got issues with trust. Right.
Don't even entertain the thought that you're going to take one.
But as the guy's walking away at the end, he's like, so what do you think of lie detectors? He goes, it's bullshit. It's total bullshit. That was hilarious. Now, Bill, let's talk about Top Chef Masters very quickly.
Okay.
Wouldn't you say that the chefs in this episode had the best camaraderie of any of them, like having a good time?
Yeah, it was really terrific to watch.
And the whole thing was like a mystery box. They had to prepare food and put it in a box for a different chef, and that chef didn't know what they were getting. And they had to make an awesome meal out of whatever was in the box, right?
Yeah.
So let's go ahead and check this out. It's pretty cool.
For your elimination challenge, I want you to draw a knife, but do not reveal what's on it to any of the other chefs. You'll each create a mystery box for the chef whose name you've drawn. All you have to do is use seven of these ingredients to create a delicious and masterful dish for the critics and a group of culinary students.
Each one of us is going to shop for another one of the masters.
Anything local?
The word sabotage in professional chef does not exist. I have great respect for Art, Roy, and Michael. I knew as a young culinary student. I could always see his bright eyes looking up and checking me out, which is cute.
No chef wants to be in the weeds, and hopefully they're doing the same for me. I hope there'll be some chicken in there.
I have some concerns about what I might see in my mystery box tomorrow, but I think you'll see a little bit more camaraderie, a little bit less backbiting among the Top Chef masters.
Are you a master chef?
Well, some people call me that.
Watch your attitude, Mario.
too bad we didn't have the flipping out guy this week, Bill.
I know. I was looking for that integration, that corporate synergy at Bravo.
So next week is the big, clash of the titans, if you will. And that's what I'm really excited about.
Six of them. And Art Smith, the guy that's Obama's personal chef, and who else? Oprah Winfrey, the big gay honey bear.
That guy, he made fried chicken that looks so good.
Yeah.
And what else?
He won that, so he moves on to the next round with... God, I can't even remember all of them. I know Michael Chiarello.
Yeah.
Hubert Keller.
Yeah, is that the guy in the very first episode, Hubert Keller, who made that awesome, like, macaroni with shrimp or whatever?
Which I made, like, 2 weeks ago, and it was awesome.
Oh, dude, you got to send me that in a Tupperware container.
I'll put it in the food saver bag. You just drop it in some boiling water and heat it up.
I got to try that drop shit. Drop it in some... But that's the one I'm really excited about next week.
Yeah, that's going to be good.
I ain't no bitch.
But anyway, let's go ahead and check out Entourage, huh? Entourage?
Yeah, because it's so good this year.
Now, Steven, have you seen the first two episodes of Entourage? No, I just want to hear Steven's take on them. What did you think?
They're just dull. There's nothing going on.
The whole... Okay, I just want to ask this. the guy's giving E shit about Sloan, like, hey, Eric and Sloan sitting in a tree. Is that shit even mildly amusing anymore? I mean,
no.
Do we really need these guys busting each other's balls all the time? The whole, is this season about growing up and moving on? They're acting exactly the same.
Yeah.
It's, yeah, I mean, they keep hassling him, and it's like, dude, really, there's nothing there, and they keep pushing him into thinking that there is.
By the way, when Sloan shows up there to talk to Eric, she looks smoking hot.
She looks the best she has on the entire run of the show right now.
The only reason I'm watching this show is for Sloan right now. But let's go ahead and check this out. Now, we talked about how last week Entourage dated itself, having talk of Jay Leno, and they also referenced
My Name is Earl.
My Name is Earl. This week, they're referencing Seth Rogen in Knocked Up. Like, what? Let's check this out.
Just explain this to me. Ugly guy walks into a bar, and hot-ass Katherine Heigl wants to party with him?
She was drunk.
She wasn't drunk yet. That's my point. She was sober, and she drinks with him. And then she goes home with him, even though when she was sober, she could plainly see how ugly he was.
Jamie was sober when she met you, wasn't she?
I'm cute drama. Ask anybody.
Turtle, funny guys get girls, and she went home with him because Seth Rogen's funny.
He hadn't said anything yet to show he was funny.
He's so ugly, she knew he had to be funny.
How would she know that?
Because he was starring in the movie. If he wasn't funny, there's no way someone that ugly could star in a movie.
You know, in some alternate universe, that actually makes sense. Not to me, it doesn't.
Why do you keep watching this movie if it bugs you so much?
His ugliness is oddly fascinating, especially in Blu-ray. Pisses me off.
Pisses you off? I'm the one who's so good-looking, I couldn't even get an audition. What do you want this?
You can put it anywhere.
Yeah, that's some...
Wow, that's some of the worst dialogue and worst acting I've heard.
I mean, I'm thinking that Entourage should have been canceled a while ago because they got nothing new. If they had a new place to go, but maybe the last four episodes of the season, again, they'll come up with something.
They need to do something, yeah, because it's just nothing.
The stuff
if they want to focus on the agency and...
Well, like when they had the thing with
Ari and
the girl comes over to E's house and she's got flowers and... They're all creepily standing there as she's trying to talk to him, like, why didn't you invite her or whatever? First of all, the chick looks emaciated to me. She looks
she looks terrible.
She needs to eat a sandwich or something. Mm-hmm. I mean, she looks deathly skinny. I don't know what's going on there.
Does she look like she needs to visit an orthodontist, too, maybe?
Well, it's because her teeth are rotted out from vomiting all the time, is what I think it is. And
all that acid takes a toll.
And, like, yeah, I'm so sure he's going to, like, go with her instead of Sloan or whatever. But anyway, the whole thing with Gary Cole's character, not Gary Coleman, Gary Cole, the agent with Ari, and now he's cheating on his wife or whatever. I don't know. I'm not
interested. A little, an angry brown dwarf.
I'm trying to think of anything that maybe made me laugh. Maybe Lloyd eating the grapes, and then he says, okay, you only need to lose 10 pounds. So he starts eating the grapes a lot, and now he's eating a sandwich.
This entire episode was about relationships. Like, what the hell? I don't care that Gary Cole is screwing a hot blonde assistant or representative at the agency, and that his wife, who's played by Jamie Gertz, who's looking really old, is somehow best friends now with Ari's wife. And it's just like, it's spinning out of control.
Almost forced.
I actually like the part where his wife calls him and scares the shit out of him that she hated the chick. I thought that was funny. I almost wanted to see more of his wife and Jamie Gertz than I did any of the other stuff. I was like, hey,
let's give the show
some people having fun on the show. Let's check them out for a while, you know?
Yeah.
You know, I like Entourage. I'm just not, it's nothing interesting. It's just going through the motions.
They didn't do any writing this year, it seems.
Here's what I'm
thinking.
No, there's
nothing going on.
Doug Ellen wrote these scripts about a year ago and stuck them in a drawer. I don't know when they filmed the season. Actually, it probably happened a while back. But everything is dated now, and it's just not working for me anymore.
Well, if you're going to be shooting a show and then airing it like a year later, don't put, you know, pop culture references in it because it's automatically going to date it.
Right. And, you know, I even heard, like, Seth Rogen made a comment. People were asking him, hey, did you see that they pretty much dissed you on Entourage? And I don't know if he's being serious or not. He was like, Doug Ellen's an idiot. knocked up has some awesome camaraderie between the guys that live in the house, and they're all joking on each other and ragging on each other, and that shit is hilarious, and that's what Entourage can't seem to do.
No. Honestly, do any of them have any charisma whatsoever?
I know that E and Turtle get on my nerves. The only person that can make me laugh usually is Drama. And they don't have anything for him to do right
now. And even that's getting old. It's like the same old Drama every week.
Yeah.
And he hasn't even, the first two episodes, they've barely given him any airtime, except he's dating this chick who's kind of crazy, like into some freaky shit, I guess. And she even says the funny line of, she bangs Seth Rogen. They're like, what? Or whatever, but we've spent too much time on Entourage. Let's talk about True Blood. And then we'll get into the news, Bill, huh?
Okay, let's do it.
Now, True Blood, it starts out with this clip, and let's check this out first before we talk about it. What do you say?
Sure.
Jessica, we discussed this.
All I did was order him off the menu. You didn't say not to order off the menu.
I would no more allow you to feed on that young man than to watch pornography on television.
Porno?
Jessica.
Hey, Sookie, there's dirty movies on TV.
I know. Yuck.
To your room,
please. She goes, I know. Yuck.
True Blood.
You are going to be so sorry when I get an eating disorder. Private. Keep out.
You know, she calls that guy, what is his name, Hoyt, at home?
Yeah.
And I love that guy. He lives with his mom. She's like, who are you talking to on the phone?
Well, and he's on his own private cell phone.
I know.
And she's up in his shit. And I love whenever he laid back down, he's like, well, I'm reading my comic. You want me to tell you about it?
Yeah.
It's just so, it's so cute.
She's a vampire. And, you know, she's very young, and she obviously hasn't been out of the house. Her dad was abusive, strict, weird, religious people, and I just think it's hilarious. And let's get into the Eric stuff, which I think is very interesting, is they let us know that Godric was Eric's maker, and they have this flashback when he was a Viking. I guess you never stop being a Viking, do you?
I think once you're a Viking, you're always a Viking.
And he was...
So he was Eric the Viking.
Yes. He was wounded in battle, and he's dying. And I guess they're going to give him a Viking funeral and burn him, much like Darth Vader in Return of the Jedi. Until this vampire shows up and kills them and has this conversation with Eric, where he tells him he watched him in battle, and it was beautiful. Would he like to spend eternity with him? And...
Gay.
I don't know about that, Steven. I think you're a vampire. You're...
Godric looked... You know what? I think it's funny that there's no, this... In our society nowadays, like, there's automatic interpretation. Like, if one guy says he loves another, it's automatically, oh, are they gay? Like, and it's not like that. It's like whenever you read the Gunslinger, like how Roland says that he loved Jake.
Right.
You know, it's not that kind of love. People like throw this stigma on it. And I think it's just like, you know, he appreciates him. He admires him.
Well, when he saw what a beautiful warrior he was, it's this guy.
Yeah.
I think this guy's already been alive for 1,000 years or something. He's seen
exactly.
A lot of shit, and he saw Eric was special and Eric was dying. He's like, "Would you like me to save your life and you could live through eternity with me?" And I'm guessing a vampire gets very lonely, wouldn't you think? Like, just
everyone that they, you know, make a connection to that isn't a vampire dies.
Dothraki.
And if he's trying to find somebody with his camaraderie, you know, the same kind of instinct or whatever, if you will.
And it's very interesting that someone like Bill, when they showed, you know, the first season, how he was taken and turned, it was kind of against his will, wasn't it?
Yeah.
The lady seemed to like him, so she's like, I'm going to turn this guy, and pretty much ruined his life. So that's interesting. And it looks like there's some kind of power that whoever your maker is has over you.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, too.
And I'm still loving the Jason Stackhouse stuff.
I think my God, he got a hand job from the...
That was crazy and hilarious.
It was uncomfortable, yet it was like, wow, that's... Okay.
In the scene where they're doing the training and he helps the guy over the fence or whatever, it shows he's a natural leader. So he's a big dumb guy, but he's You know, like he said,
he's charismatic and he's...
He's a quarterback on the football team, so he's like a natural leader. Yeah. But he's just, what would you say, gullible?
Yeah. He's gullible? Trusting. He's naive.
Right.
The meeting at the lair, Godric's lair,
yeah,
with vampires, one was Nathan from Eureka.
Yeah, and he was a hothead. He just wants to go to war with the humans.
Yeah.
Oh, and how cool was it when the guy showed Jason their stash of weapons, like wooden bullets, silver bullets, and...
Oh, I know. Holy crap.
And he had a friggin' RPG, you know? Just all this shit, like, we're ready to go to war with vampires.
I got a wooden RPG.
Yeah. Oh, and when he showed him the cool, he goes, here's like a throwing star, silver throwing star. And he's like, whoa, that's awesome. I never would have thought of that. That's hilarious. I can't wait to see what happens there, like how this all builds up. And, you know, once again, we have the stuff with Marianne and Tara.
God, I hope she dies soon.
And the girl, is her name Daphne, that's messing around with Sam? She's a shapeshifter. She can turn into a deer.
And they love showing that that scratch on her back to kind of insinuate she's not as she appears.
Yeah, she's under the control of Marianne somehow. I don't know what's going on there. I just really, I want them to tell us now what her... deal is, what is she trying to accomplish? Like she said, she tells Tara, you don't know what I see in you. I see that you're a good person that deserves things or whatever. I'm just, what's going on there? I want to know that because I'm
she sees that she's easily manipulated and that she forgets things quickly.
Well, did you see that they pretty much reveal that Marianne and Eggs and that other guy, they're like nomads, they always move around a lot. And we've already seen her slap that dude when he didn't do something right, remember?
Right.
Like, these are... She just gets servants from places? I don't know. I want to know more. I really do.
I just want... Yeah, I want that storyline to pretty much end because I'm getting tired of it.
And I like when Lafayette shows up at work. They're like, where the hell have you been? And he just wants his job back. I got to say, I really like the show. And the thing I really liked about this episode is how it was really slow moving and it takes its time. I don't know about you guys, but every week this show feels like it's like 2 hours long. They cram so much stuff in it. They do a really good job of it.
And Entourage just the opposite. It feels so long.
It feels like an hour, even though it's 20 minutes or whatever.
Yeah, it's like 22 minutes. Or it's probably even shorter. It's like 14 minutes. Doug Allen's laughing his way to the bank. He's written the scripts already. He's not even worrying about it. Maybe they could bring back that director character who annoys the shit out of everyone.
Oh,
wouldn't that be
Walsh.
Horrible? Billy Walsh.
Billy Walsh.
But yeah, True Blood, love it. Can't wait to see it again this week.
I'm going to be sad when the season's over.
Oh yeah, me too. Definitely. Well, let's go ahead and check out the news, Bill. Let's do it.
Loaf of bread, a container of milk, and a stick of butter.
Awesome. All right.
I'm going to have to remember that.
Besides that, Bill, what do we have in the news?
It's going to be your gut snapping like a full whip.
Okay.
Oh, boy. This story belongs to the dumb shit filing a dumb lawsuit category. A class action lawsuit filed Thursday by a New Jersey man alleges meals at Denny's contain unsafe salt levels.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, there's a surprise. The lawsuit filed with the support of the food advocacy group, Center for Science, in Washington, seeks to compel Denny's to disclose on the menus the amount of sodium in each of its meals and to place a notice on its menus about high sodium levels. All right, let's say you go to Denny's and you're going to get a meal called the Meat Lover's Scramble.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it has two eggs with bacon, ham, sausage, cheddar cheese, and then two bacon strips on the side, two sausage links on the side, hash browns.
Sounds like
and
heaven.
And two pancakes.
You got the hookup.
Do you think that might have just a little bit of sodium in it?
Maybe. Just a little bit.
Just a touch.
I mean,
Just the right amount, I think.
Do you have to be a complete friggin' moron?
I wouldn't move around a lot for worry that I might have a heart attack afterwards.
If I'm going to Denny's and I'm a 48-year-old man on high blood pressure medication and doesn't cook with salt or use salt at home, you know, a salt shaker, I'm not going to eat the typical menu at Denny's. I'm going to look at, you know, the light menu or something.
What are you talking about?
You know, the worst thing also about Denny's, like a lot of them still have smoking sections.
Oh, my
so
God,
like,
yeah.
Not only are you eating that for breakfast, you also got a cigarette in your hand.
Yeah.
Drinking, like, cups and cups of coffee.
Yeah, Denny's is not the place to go if you want a healthy breakfast. This idiot, this Nick DiBenedetto, is the guy that's filing this lawsuit. And he says that he was astonished to find that these meals have more salt than someone in his condition should have in a whole day. And by the way, that meat lover's scramble I mentioned has 5,690 milligrams of sodium.
Whoa.
So that's not the place to eat if you're...
Could you eat at Denny's maybe once a year and it might be okay, but just not
sure,
every day,
absolutely,
right?
Yeah. But when you go there like once a week, like this douchebag...
I mean, if you...
No wonder he has high blood pressure.
Yeah, if you went there even once a month or every couple months, you know.
Yeah. And who the hell gets a meat lover's thing with, you know, so much stuff?
When you've got high blood pressure already.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm
what do
off
you
base
need,
here.
What do you need? Scrambled eggs with three meats in it.
I didn't
it,
even know they had
two...
meat lovers like that. I thought it was just like a pizza. Meat lover's pizza.
Yeah, and two pancakes. I mean, come on.
It's good.
I like to get the... That omelet that has like mushrooms and bell pepper and onions and all that stuff in it.
Yeah, that's my favorite. What is it? That's like the Western omelet.
Okay.
That shit is good.
Nothing but an asshole with a little training.
Oh.
Okay.
Well, I'll pass on that. I wanted to throw this out. The Australian sci-fi blog did an interview with Jake Lloyd. Anakin Skywalker from Episode 1.
Little Annie, yeah.
Yeah, he's now 20 years old, and there's a video of this interview, and holy shit, has George Lucas ruined this kid's life.
What?
I mean, he says in the interview, it's been part of my life for the last 10 years or so, and in the video, he's holding his knees and rocking back and forth.
Mm-hmm. All my life.
And he says, high school, they wouldn't let it go. You know how they can be in high school? They're so charming and intelligent, awesome people. So, that was wonderful. College has been similar. Again, you'll never find more intelligent, charming people than the drunk students of a college world. And he says, I certainly shouldn't complain about it. It's a funny aspect. It seems to be a universal aspect of culture. It's like once you hit that age, whatever stands out the most must be said the most.
Yippee.
And, they asked him if there was one person you could use the force hold on, who would it be? And he said, I wouldn't, because I know that asshole's life is worse than I could make it. Like, he doesn't look like a happy individual. 20 years old, he just looks like an adult version of Little Annie.
Really?
It's like, yeah, he's got like that head on this adult body now.
Did he ever act again after that?
No, he didn't.
I wonder if they got such a huge payday from it, maybe? I don't know.
Well, he said that, you know, he certainly appreciates the royalties because they've made it able for him to attend the best schools.
Well, that's cool. You know? Maybe he couldn't get work after that because he was so like, oh, you're the horrible kid from episode one that...
Yeah, exactly. I think that's kind of what he's...
I don't care what kind of fan you are of Phantom Menace. Nobody came out of that movie saying, man, that kid was a good actor. No,
he said in the interview, it wasn't quoted here, but he said in the interview that he only watched it one time since he made it after the premiere, and it was like at a friend's house that had it on, and they were all laughing at it, except he can't even laugh at it. You know, he sees this experience that he can't get out of his mind. I guess it was just really traumatic for him.
Weird. I'm sure it was kind of scary. If you've ever watched that documentary that comes with the movie,
Yeah.
Remember how he's kind of like unsure of himself a lot? And he's like, you guys make fun of me if I say it wrong. And they're like, no, we won't. No, it's okay. It's obvious the kid was in over his head. Yeah, you know?
He still comes across that way. And he said, you know, that I think he gets shit for the movie being so bad. And he says in an interview, listen, it's a kid's movie. You watch it, and it's for kids.
I in no way would hold anything against that kid. He was cast in it, and I wouldn't say no to it. Like, hey, you want to play Anakin? Yeah. It's like, I don't have any acting experience, but hell yeah.
It just looks like he's been beaten down.
Oh, I bet he has. He needs to get together with the Star Wars kid, and they just need to hang out, you know?
Yeah.
Remember that kid?
What the hell was his name?
And he needs Hayden Christensen needs to take them out to eat or something.
He's like, Hayden was like, big enough to know better.
He's like, dude, I suck ass in the movies too. I come off as a horrible actor.
I don't necessarily think it was his fault. I think it was had everything to do with George Lucas being a shit director.
He will be the first to admit he doesn't enjoy directing actors.
Well, then let him write the shit, and then let somebody that's actually competent direct the movie. All right, moving on to another story. After drinking 300 grams of antifreeze and chasing it down with a Coca-Cola, Dmitry Butikov from the central Russian town of Lipsk had only time to give a few interviews to a dozen Russians and foreign journalists specially invited to witness the unique occasion before feeling sick. An ambulance took him to a hospital where the 44-year-old coolant glutton died of severe blood poisoning several days later. Butikov claimed to possess supernatural abilities, boasting to be able to start his lunch with a glass of acetone, take a ball of mercury as a main course, and chase it down with a bottle of cooling fluid, all with a close-up TV camera aimed at him. Ooh. A successful entrepreneur in the past, Dmitry discovered his outstanding abilities while serving behind bars. Oh.
I'm not no bitch.
So apparently he had medical experts there to, observe his unusual abilities. And I guess he just couldn't digest such a huge amount of toxic material.
So he delayed his death, I guess.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah.
He was going to die, but he held off until the next day. So that's pretty impressive, right?
Yeah, eventually, after a number of dangerous experiments he did, he dies, despite his apparent immunity, they said.
despite it.
Yeah. I guess he died despite his able to take this stuff. It's terrible. Next story. Poor Jeffrey Donovan, you from Burn Notice. The Miami Beach police say they arrested the Burn Notice star on suspicion of drunken driving.
Oh, man.
What are you doing?
What's his name's blanking on me. Michael
Weston.
Michael Weston. There you go. The arrest report says an officer pulled Donovan over on July 12th after noticing that he was swerving his car to avoid hitting the police car from behind.
He was just having a good time. He was avoiding an accident. Leave the guy alone.
When the officer approached Donovan, he reported that the actor's eyes appeared to be bloodshot and watery. The actor failed a field sobriety test. The arrest report says that Donovan refused to take a breathalyzer test.
You don't even have a clue.
Phone messages left for his publicist and for a spokeswoman at USA Network were not immediately returned. Whoops.
I'm about ready to kill you.
See, we got quotes from him.
He's related to Bubba.
You don't know. You don't even have a clue.
Okay, Bubba.
All right, Clearwater, Florida. Now, the first day with his new boat was going just as Mike Parker had planned. He left his home in the Villages in Central Florida at dawn Thursday. Once in Clearwater, he took his 22-foot Century Center console for a spin in the Gulf of Mexico.
Woo-hoo!
But when Parker brought the boat back to the Seminole boat ramp, things got weird.
Uh-oh.
In a flash, six Clearwater police officers not only had boarded the vessel, but used it to capture a man wanted for grand theft. The cops christened the boat, about? Said Parker. Jonathan Hansen, 25, the man police apprehended, faces three counts of grand theft, said Clearwater police spokeswoman Elizabeth Watts. According to the authorities, Hansen is believed to have stolen two vacuums from a Bed Bath & Beyond and a security system from Comp USA, both of which are located at the Sunset Point Shopping Center. Authorities spent much of the morning looking for Hansen after they spotted him near Marshall Street, Sunset Drive.
Oh, sorry.
He jumped into the water to avoid being arrested. So these guys see, jumps in the water and go, shit, we need to get to the marina to get this guy.
Awesome.
So they commandeered this guy's boat to capture a guy that stole two vacuums and a security system. What a proper use of tax dollars.
And, I mean, I don't know, in the world I live in, if a guy's stealing vacuums, it's just like, nah, let him go.
I know, exactly. Who the hell cares about vacuums?
He's trying to clean something.
Yeah.
He's and at least, make the he's, world you know, he's getting a security system. He cares about his home being invaded by people much like him. All right, according this to Variety, well Sam Raimi awesome. Just signed on to direct Warcraft.
Yeah.
The live-action version of the popular video game franchise.
The World of Warcraft.
This is absurd to me.
I mean, okay, how many years away is this freaking movie?
I know.
That's what I want to know. Does anyone get excited over this? Like,
I think maybe he just, you know, said, you know what, maybe sometime in the future we'll do something like this.
Hey,
maybe, you know.
Sam, World of Warcraft, I don't know if you've ever played this, but you think you might want to direct that someday?
Well.
Okay.
How much you want to bet by this time next year he's off of it?
Can I oh, take- yeah, it's stupid. This is pointless.
Can I take that as a yes?
Let's. How? What about Eli Roth is going to do Cell the movie for like the longest time? Next thing you hear, no, he's not. It's just there's so many of these people. Directors get attached to projects and then it just falls away. But every freaking movie blog you check out has to have this story on it. You know,
if there's one movie I don't want Eli Roth doing, it's Cell. I just like the book too much for him to touch that.
Yeah, I don't want to have a dude saying pancakes over and over again, you know? Or
pancakes!
Because that had already been done in that other movie. Remember that, Steven?
Mm-hmm.
Say It Ain't So had the guy going, pancakes! Pancakes! Remember that?
Oh, yep. Yeah, you're right.
Awesome.
All right, Silverton, Oregon. I don't know if you know this, but Silverton, Oregon has an openly transgender mayor.
Really?
Yeah, and he's under fire for his choice of attire when he went to speak to a group of students.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, the Silverton Together, a nonprofit group that works with young people, filed a formal complaint against Mayor Stu Rasmussen.
Awesome.
And they're not happy that his wardrobe was inappropriate. All right, so this guy's the mayor, and he goes to speak to students in a bathing suit top, a mini skirt, in high heels. Yeah. Okay. Is that a robot? he says, why are we even having this discussion? I'm an adult. I'll wear what I please. Who the hell elected this guy? Yeah, let's elect a transgender dude. This sounds genius.
Yeah, they were like, let's be, you know, it's going to be awesome. We're very open-minded and stuff, but you didn't know that.
We're progressive thinkers here in Oregon.
You should have implemented a dress code. Yeah, a dress code before any of that shit happened.
What's funny is there is a dress code, and he says the mayor says that the city dress code does not apply to him since he is transgender, not entirely a male or a female.
Holy shit, this guy's
what
totally...
What freaking world is this lunatic living in?
What does it say on your driver's license?
Yeah, what does it say between your legs?
Is it an M or an F or a T?
I've got a penis, so that kind of means that you're a man? Maybe? Possibly?
Anyone for penis?
There you go, Homer.
Holy balls! Yeah.
All right, this is probably the most important story for me. I loved So You Can't Do That on Television growing up. I watched it every time it was on Nickelodeon.
So did I. And you know what? You know, it was something that you always watch when it's on. Wasn't particularly funny.
No.
Had no idea why I watched it. It was awful, horrible writing.
It was absurd.
But you just watched it whenever it was on. I have no idea why.
Well, actor and broadcaster Les Lye, who played Barth.
Are you sure it's not Leslie? Les Lye?
No. Les Lye passed away on Tuesday at the age of 84. Born in Toronto, Lye came to Ottawa after graduating from Lorne Greene's Academy of Radio Arts. Holy shit, Lorne Greene had an Academy of Radio Arts?
The real Adama, you mean?
Yeah. He joined the CFRA radio, where he served listeners for more than a decade. It was at CFRA that he worked with Rich Little, and they collaborated on the comedy album My Fellow Canadians, a spoof of the Diefenbaker years. In 1961, he joined CJOH-TV as a freelance writer
and performer. I'd really like to
hear that, Bill. What?
I'd really like to hear that.
Well, I would have to find it online. Rich, I mean, come on, anything with Rich Little, maybe it'll be the Sniglets. He came up with it with Les Lye. But again,
not Rich Hall there, Bill.
Rich Hall, Rich Little.
Oh, though. Shit. Rich Hall. Sorry. I'm an idiot. Rich Little. Rich Little was the guy that did horrible.
He does the impersonation.
Yes.
Impersonations. Wow. Rich Hall is Canadian, though, right?
Yeah, Rich Hall is Canadian.
Maybe I'm off base here.
But he created a popular show called Willie and Floyd there in Canada. It ran for more than 20 years. And when he got the call to do You Can't Do That on Television, they were looking for a character actor to play many different people as foils for the kids.
And boy, did he.
Man, he was the best. He played the stagehand with the pencil-thin mustache and Barth. I mean, who can forget, I heard that.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. He was classic. It's a sad day.
Poor guy.
All right. I'm going to do one last story here. 77. Oh, no, not again. A 70-year-old transgender. man.
These guys are taking over here.
Bill, what are you telling us?
Well, see, this is just wrong.
Hi.
Recently, Chastity Bono announced she was having surgery to become a man. A transgender center in Montgomery County, Pennsylvania, is busier than ever. Medical reporter for Channel 3 in Philadelphia has an exclusive story of one of the oldest patients to make the switch.
Are you punking me, man?
No, I'm not, surprisingly. Renee Ramsey, who's 77, is recovering from the surgery that she's been dreaming of for decades. Since she was 13, she always knew something was different. She used to be Richard, a Green Beret specialist in Vietnam. A tough guy who privately dreamed of wearing dresses.
Dick.
It was weird, because as much as I wanted to dress like a lady, I didn't say anything. I knew if I did, I would be discharged.
Yeah, right.
He was in the military for over 20 years, married twice. She says that Richard eventually started to dress like a woman, but switched back into the uniform for official duties.
Dick.
So I guess even whenever they... I guess what this means by...
Where she grabbed her...
she had a surgery that she... He... Dismembered the member?
Huh?
Correct.
Yowls.
What?
Turned his member into the female.
Yeah, turned
gender.
It inside out.
Himself?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
Never mind. I thought you meant did it physically with a knife or something?
No.
What the hell am I thinking about over here?
Yeah, sorry, yikes. That would be ridiculous. That would be crazy.
Yeah.
But again, I've said it before. I know how they do the man-to-woman thing, but I still can't wrap my mind around the Chastity Bono wanting to become a man thing. That's no idea.
It's like we're
but I digress. That's the news.
You can kiss my ass.
Oh, my God. Hey, Bill, what was that podcast you told me about last night called again?
Oh, Radio Spirit World.
I listened to that as I was falling asleep, and I went into some kind of weird, like, between consciousness and sleep type of thing.
Uh-huh.
It's the funniest thing ever, and I woke up kind of laughing like I was, like, unconscious, but it's basically a news radio for the afterlife. People are all dead. You know, they're all in the afterlife. And there was this funny news story about Peter Ustinov haunting a McDonald's and changing the name to Mick Ustinov's.
It's just so... The entire thing is so absurd.
It's the most driest sense of humor ever.
I found myself just laughing to the point where I was almost in tears. Because it's the way it, you start listening to it, and it's like, what? Because it sounds like it's from the 40s.
Yeah.
Like, you sound like you're listening to it on one of those, like, radios that was the size of a TV in their living rooms.
The back tube in the 40s. Radios.
The production values are awesome.
Yeah, and I'm sad that there's only been one episode, and it's from, like, early June. I want them to do another one, because I just loved it so much.
And one of the guys is Peter Serafinowicz, right?
Chichen Itza.
Yeah, someone actually told me how to say his name before in the forum, and now I can't remember. Yeah. But, you know, it's
Peter Serafinowicz.
Yeah. Or is it Serafinovich? Don't you, like, instead of Wicks, like W-I-C-Z, don't you say
Maybe
Vich?
It is. Peter Serafinovich?
Yeah, that's it. The voice of Darth Maul, if you will. I'm sure he hangs out with Jake Lloyd all the time. he and another guy have put this together, and the guy's a genius. He really is. He's so...
It's funny, funny stuff.
It's so funny, and everyone check it out. It's called Radio Afterlife.
Radio Spirit World.
Radio Spirit World. Why can't I remember the freaking name of this thing? Radio Spirit World. And it's so cool. I listened to it as I was falling asleep in bed, and it was just crazy.
I was afraid you would be laying in bed laughing and you'd wake up your wife.
The thing about Peter Ustinov early on was funny, though. He was haunting a McDonald's and changed the name to Mick Ustinov's. And he got in trouble. The fine may be in jail for eternity was the sentence.
Yeah, so...
Just all the stuff is really funny that has this kind of ghost kind of humor. It's so weird. I can't explain it. Just listen to it. I need to listen to it awake.
Yeah.
But anyway, Bill, thanks for doing the news this week.
You're welcome.
What do you say we do some DVDs? I ruined the song last week, Steven.
I heard it.
I hope you can forgive me. Let's check it out.
Let's do some DVDs!
DVDs! HD, Blu-ray, standard definition! DVDs! Oh, hell yeah! The DVDs, everybody! Yes.
I ain't no bitch.
I think I'm gonna pass out now.
I'm not no bitch.
Oh, my God. Wait, say that again. What?
I ain't no bitch.
Oh, okay. All right, Bill. You know, one thing that I wanted to ask Rick, instead of a DVD to review, what if we ask Rick to watch Arena, the movie about the interstellar boxer who boxes aliens? What do you think?
I have it. I could post it on my private forum if you needed a place to find it. Or my private server to download.
It was like one of those, like, in the, what was it, late 80s, early 90s? I don't know. It came out in 89. Yeah. Steven and I, on Fridays, would rent really bad movies at Blockbuster. And it was like, hey, let's rent this piece of shit called Arena.
That was the only thing available on Friday nights at Blockbusters was the shit movies?
We had our eye on it.
We had affinities for bad B-movies.
And I think we'd had
I love bad B-movies.
We had our eye on it for a while, and it's like we had to get up the courage to, okay, let's waste a rental by renting this.
Because we would sit, me and Jason would talk about movies that we had seen. And it's like, dude, my dad made me watch this growing up. Dude, my dad did too.
Yeah, we had this kick where instead of really good movies, we'd rather just laugh our asses off at really shitty movies. And Arena was one of them. And I gotta say, it's pretty entertaining. It's a guy, Steve Armstrong, who boxes aliens, basically, on a space station. It's the coolest premise ever.
And I loved you posted the 8-minute clip on, yeah, on Facebook. And
the
I
whole
just...
movie's on there, actually.
Yeah, it is.
So I guess Rick could probably watch it there.
Oh, I'd love for him
to give his 10 cents on that. Me and Jason, we would come in doing Spinner when we worked. You know, this little robot that had these little punchers right in the front of its little mechanical body.
The robot Spinner would grab onto you, and then those little punchers would punch you in the gut.
Oh, no.
They'd come out, you know, they'd come out, what, 6 or 8 inches?
But plus, Bill, it's got Claudia Christian in it. Remember her?
She was so hot.
Babies.
Yeah, I remember when she did Playboy. It was like the best thing ever.
So, Rick, if you could check out Arena, that would be awesome. Unless there's something even better in the DVDs this week, Bill. Let's go ahead and get this started, huh?
Well, there's DVDs for Tuesday, July 28, 2009. These are all Region 1 releases. Too Fast, Too Furious on DVD and Blu-ray.
Hell yizzle, yo.
But you want to know why Too Fast, Too Furious is on Blu-ray?
Why?
Because Fast and Furious, the new sequel, is now on Blu-ray.
I thought that's what we were talking about. I can't discern the
Too
difference.
Fast, Too Furious is the one with the black dude.
Oh.
Tyrese, whatever.
Tyrese, yeah. And this is the new one with Vin Diesel, Michelle Rodriguez, Paul Walker.
Fast Furious.
Yeah, hell yeah. And it's on Blu-ray, yep. Bill?
All of them are now, man. All of them.
Oh, dude.
Fast Furious, Fast and the Furious, Fast and Furious Tokyo Drift.
Especially in Blu-ray.
I mean, come on. That's like, that is the most ultimate night of entertainment.
Yeah, that's right, Turtle. Especially on Blu-ray.
Especially in Blu-ray.
I hate that guy.
Isn't that what he's saying? Especially on Blu-ray?
Especially on Blu-ray, yeah.
I wasn't really paying that much attention.
Oh, sorry, Jesse. Didn't mean to bother you there.
So, pick up all your Fast Furious
needs.
Fun.
All your Fast Furious needs.
Fast Furious Tokyo Drift. Fast.
You know, it was funny. This movie, it's like they can't make awesome car movies without CGI, apparently.
No, you've got to fly through the engine block in every one of them now.
But this one, they show a CGI tanker truck of gasoline rolling
that
towards them.
That looks so bad.
It really did. I want to see the finished version to see if maybe they tightened that up and cleaned it up a little. It looks realistic now. What do you guys think? Probably looks really good now?
It probably looks like it's so real you get nervous.
Whoa,
you see,
Vin Diesel's really in danger
it
here.
It looks so real that the heat, you could feel the heat off of it, blows up.
And you know what, Bill? I probably will Netflix this just to hear the badass sound mix. You know what I'm saying, yo?
It's probably pretty good.
Yeah.
The sound mix, that is.
Oh, yeah. Not the movie, but the sound
No, definitely
I'm
not.
I'm sure it's pretty stupid. It's just All stupid right. fun, right, guys?
Well, fun's debatable.
We've proven that we'll watch a stupid movie.
Oh,
let's go ahead and check.
We'll watch anything.
Yeah.
Well, one thing is I heard that a certain actress dies in this, and that makes me willing to watch it.
Oh, nice. If it's who I think it is.
Good Lord. Okay, Jesus.
All right, moving on. Bad Lieutenant Special Edition, because... The first release wasn't enough.
Hilarious comedy, that.
It really is.
The part where he's jacking in the street, remember that?
Oh.
That's not disturbing at all.
Yeah, and why in the hell are they remaking this with Nicolas Cage?
Yeah, he's like, I want to jerk off in the street just like Harvey Keitel. Well, hell, let's remake the movie, huh? Let's ask
that
Sam Raimi
to
direct it.
Jerk off in the street, I want to, too.
Well.
All right.
What was that, Ronnie?
My little Molly Kitty. Oh.
Sorry.
Battle Battlestar Galactica Season 4.5 is coming out on DVD and Blu-ray.
Which season was that?
The last. That was the last one.
Oh, okay. We've already watched it. Why would we get that?
Yeah. But if you... Well, some people, you know, haven't seen it. But if you haven't seen the entire series, why not pick up the complete series on DVD or Blu-ray?
Whoa, I bet that's going to be expensive.
$230.
Frack you.
Whoa.
Yeah. It lists, like, MSRP, if you were to go to Best Buy or somewhere to get it, $350.
Shove it up your ass.
Whoa. Oh, shit. Adama, he's pretty pissed off about this pricing structure here.
Well, I think he's just angry about the finale. It ruined the entire series.
What is this?
Now, what is it they could have added to the finale that would have made it better, you think?
They need a pimp.
Oh, right. That would have made it a lot better.
They were God. Maybe God was the pimp.
You're right, Bill. I think we touched on something here.
Yeah.
Very cool. What do you think, Michael Ian Black?
Well.
You know, that's one thing we didn't talk about was Michael and Michael have issues.
Yeah.
And I watched the second episode of that today. I could not stop laughing at the Bob the Silent Weatherman.
Yeah, he just kind of talks under his breath.
Yeah, he talks under his breath. And then when the news anchors get pissed off, he starts going, lick my ass. And they go, what did you say?
Yeah.
Butthole. Poop. Poop. And it's just,
he comes over and he's trying to lick the
yeah,
newscaster
chick. It's so juvenile that I was laughing so hard. I can't recommend that show enough because I love how they intermingle like kind of an office type show with the skits.
Right. And I loved when they go to buy pot in a park and he's like, go buy pot from that guy. He goes, that dude's obviously a cop. He's like, no, it'd be too obvious if he was a cop. Look, he even looks like a cop. So he's not a cop. And he's like, okay. And he's like, I'd like to buy some pot, please. And he's like, well, I got this. And he shows him the badge. He's like, no, no.
He starts running away.
Yeah, he starts running away. He's like, come back here.
There's a cop car shows up.
And I love when Michael Showalter goes back to work. They're like, where's Michael? He's like, he's got a thing. You know, his daughter's sick. He can't make it. He never mentions that he got arrested for buying pot. It's just a silly show, and the first
really
episode
is.
Cracked me up, too. They're fighting in the yard and stuff. It's hilarious.
Yeah, like when they're pulling their shirts off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The two wives are like, hey, how's it going?
Good stuff.
All right, next DVD is Dollhouse Season 1 on DVD and Blu-ray.
Yeah. Whoa, Dollhouse, hell yeah!
La 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 la.
That show is kicking, yo.
You know what's important about this zip? It has the original unaired pilot.
Really? I wonder mm-hmm. what was different about it.
I have no idea.
Huh.
I need to see it to see what's so different.
You know, it's funny. We started out making fun of the show, and I started really liking it. And now I can honestly say I'm a huge fan of the show.
Yo,
yeah, so am I. It was,
Oh.
It's genuinely terrible for, like, the first six episodes.
To listen to myself.
But then it gets good, and that horrible acting of
Elisha
Dushku is actually
Eliza Dushku.
Eliza, Alicia,
whatever the hell.
And you know,
Moesha.
She delivers such great lines,
which kind of freaks me out.
Yeah.
So Elmo.
You know what's funny? She is so such Elmo. A bad actress.
She is awful. Awful. I don't know why anybody even chooses to cast her in anything. It's she's so bad.
But
well, I know why, because she's hot. But
yeah, I think she's cute to look at, you know?
Yeah.
It's only
sorry.
Natural you'd be so Elmo.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Next DVD is Dragon Ball Evolution.
Whoa, Dragon Ball?
Yeah, Dragon Balls.
more ball.
More than
it's
one?
It's all
or?
About... It's a fight for these mythical balls from a dragon.
Whoa.
I guess they give, like, superpowers. It's like the sequel to Dragon Heart.
So what's the poundage on one of those dragon balls?
I think it's, like, 2 tons.
Holy shit, that's a huge ball.
Yeah. And they're all excited because they can use the ball to spawn more dragons.
No wonder
they're like dragon.
My testicles has enlarged.
Oh.
Well, see, that's the dragon testicles are already enlarged.
Dragon testicle Z. It's like, no, guys, let's clean up the title. How about we call it Dragon Ball Z?
Dragon Balls. But I'm so not interested in this.
No, I'm not either.
I never cared about the anime. I certainly don't care about the movie.
I'm wondering what Michael Ian Black thinks of this.
Well,
yeah, that's
right. Yeah, I think we all feel that way. I'm going to check this next DVD out on Netflix. I'll put it on my queue. Do you remember the show Early Edition?
Yeah,
it was
with
on
Kyle
CBS
Chandler.
At Kyle Chandler, yeah.
Hell yeah.
And Fisher Stevens. The second season's coming out on DVD.
Huh.
I remember watching the show and really digging it, actually.
Yeah, that was one of those shows where when it got canceled, you're just kind of like bummed about it because it was pretty cool.
Yeah, I'd watch it every week it was on. I never missed it.
Yeah, but we got Friday Night Lights, so it's okay, right?
Yeah, at least he's getting work. Next DVD is something that I would love to hear Rick review.
What'd you say? You want a smoothie?
It's called Everest. And it's got Jason Priestley and William
nice.
Shatner.
Awesome!
I know. There's
Sounds
a cast
like gold.
For you. And I guess Jason Priestley is a solo mountain climber.
Very
and he wants to conquer Everest.
Sweet.
And I guess William Shatner's a investigative reporter that chronicles the daily struggle to reach the summit. So there you go. That sounds
it's
like really.
I thought you were going to tell me that he was a Sherpa or something.
Yeah, William Shatner is.
He's a Sherpa.
He's a Sherpa.
That would have been better.
He would only be able to escort them up to the first camp. He wouldn't be able to climb. But,
yeah.
It says that it's breathtaking and terrifying.
Oh.
Yeah, with unexpected perils, exhilarating triumphs, and tragedies that you will never forget.
It couldn't be any better than that Chris O'Donnell movie.
What was that called? I want to say Terminal Velocity.
No,
but it's
it had
not.
An awesome title that I said a certain way, and I can't remember.
It had that Scott Glenn in it.
Yeah, Bill Paxton was in it. It's Chris O'Donnell.
They had that green goo that was explosive.
Oh, shit, what was it called? Damn it. It had such a stupid generic title, too. Like, you know, like...
To the Limit of Extremes?
Yeah. Oh, was it Extreme something? Like, Vertical Limit!
Vertical Limit!
Yeah! What kind of title is that? There's
That's
a limit
so funny
to
that I'm
vertical.
Just spitting out all these ridiculous words like to the limit extremes.
Let's see.
Vertical limit extreme.
Horizontal limitations. No, vertical limit.
Terminal velocities.
Yeah, not a good title. And the movie's got an awesome sound mix too when those dudes blow up. Awesome.
Yeah, that's the best part about it.
So Rick has double homework this week.
I know, bitch.
Yeah, well, he can choose which one.
What was the?
I would
what
prefer
was this
arena,
again?
But
yeah,
if he wants
arena.
To do doubles, that's all right. Moving on, Green Lantern: First Flight DVD and Blu-ray.
I don't even know you.
This is the DC Universe.
I've seen commercials to it, Bill. It looks pretty cool. I'm a fan of Green Lantern. You know?
Yeah, it's got a great voice cast, too.
Pretty got, sexual in parts.
Whoa, really?
Yeah, it's got Kurtwood Smith, everyone's
awesome.
Favorite villain.
Clarence Boniger.
Clarence Boniger, yeah. Larry Drake. Trisha Helfer, Michael Madsen, Victor Garber. Christopher Maloney, John Larroquette.
Christopher Maloney, hell yeah.
Maybe he'll arrest somebody with Mariska Hargitay.
That would rock.
But it's all about Hal Jordan, you know, the basically the original story, the Green Lantern Corps fighting Sinestro, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah, what you know, I like Green Lantern, but Sinestro was his only main villain, wasn't he?
Yeah, that for as much as I can remember, yeah.
I can't remember if he had other, like, I'm sure he did. Like, wasn't there one called, like, some kind of, like, Tinkerer or something. Some guy who was like a spindle top.
I didn't read Green Lantern that much, but I think you're right.
I don't know. But anyway, I'll check out the Blu-ray. Awesome!
Yeah, I'm kind of looking forward to it. I love these. Like, when they did the adaptation of The New Frontier and all that, I really like that a lot. So
when they,
and it's always Bruce Timm that's in... Is it Bruce Timm?
Yeah.
And Paul Dini that are... They were involved in the Batman animated series and then Batman Beyond, and I trust them.
When they announced that Ryan Reynolds was going to be playing Green Lantern in a movie, I just was like,
I was so saddened by that.
I'm not even excited about a Green Lantern movie, honestly.
No, I'm just tired of Ryan Reynolds in general.
Until I saw that trailer, Bill, that they put with Nathan Fillion on it.
The fake one with Nathan Fillion. Yeah, that was really
impressive.
Which
it had scenes from Superman Returns with the green on it. Yeah, it was awesome. Yeah,
I was shocked by how bad that was.
Nothing but an asshole with a little training.
And that must have took the person that did it
a long year to time.
Do. I mean, that was just absurd. Absurd's my word of the show, if you noticed. For some reason, I keep saying it.
Awesome.
Miss March, unrated, fully exposed edition.
Miss March.
Yeah.
Remind me of what this is.
This is the... I remember the trailers on TV. It's a guy that falls in love with a girl, and then the night he's supposed to consummate the relationship with her, he gets knocked out and put into a coma.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, when he wakes up, she's Miss March.
Right, so the chick that he would have lost his virginity to is now a Playboy playmate.
Yeah, so now him and his buddies have to travel to get to Miss March.
Mansion.
Oh, it sounds awesome.
Yeah, it sounds kind of stupid, but
Wow. Time bubble one!
All right.
It's time to pay the fiddler.
Oh, Bill, I think you need to pay the fiddler this week.
I don't have any money. Can you spot me a 10?
Okay, here you go.
Have you had your money converted back to Texas dollars yet?
Yeah, those Coloradan dollars.
Coloradan dollars.
Colorado loonies, I think.
And to finish off the DVDs, I'm just doing a straight Blu-ray here. This is Spinal Tap on Blu-ray.
Oh, cool.
Very nice.
Yeah, I thought this was... I wonder if it'll be the version that was on Criterion that then they ported to MGM and now Blu-ray. So,
especially
it's one
Blu-ray.
Of those movies that's every time it's on, I watch it.
Yeah.
But that's DVDs for this week.
All right, Bill. Thanks for doing the DVDs. Wee-ha-ho! Yeah.
Babies, babies, babies.
Thank you. Good night. Here all week. Try the veal. And scene.
All right, everybody, that was episode 172 of Nowhere in Mulberry. Thank you for listening. We will not be doing a regular show next week. I just want to remind everyone, we'll be doing the NIMH Book Club. It will be The Drawing of the Three, The Dark Tower 2 by Stephen King. And I look forward to talking about that with Bill and hearing anybody's comments via voicemail or text, if you will. Thank you very much. If you'd like to reach us, call 1-206-202-3491. Also, go to nimpodcast@gmail.com. Send us an email. And go to nowhereinmulberry.com. And like I said, something's screwy with Mulberry Old School right now. I don't know if it's going to work or not. I don't know what to do about that. But anyway, another thing I wanted to say, Bill, is that, you know, I paid for a year's worth of hosting on Podbean for Nowhere in Mulberry, the regular feed, the MP3, the non-enhanced feed. And we've already filled the bandwidth because they have unlimited bandwidth plans. It's a little bit more. I got the 100 gigabyte a month allotment. And it was like 88% yesterday. So
wow.
I don't know how I'm going to release the show, honestly.
All right, people, so either calm down with the downloads or give us some friggin' money so we can get the unmetered version.
It'll take like $30 or something. I think I'm going to have to get the next tier before I can release the show. That means people like us and they're listening to the show, so that's awesome. Thank you for listening.
That's something.
Yeah, it is. So thank you for listening and all that kind of stuff. It's awesome. Right?
Right.
Well,
yeah, I guess it's not awesome.
It's not so sure.
No, but I'm really excited about the show next week. It's really cool. Now, so Steven, tell us about Colorado.
Wow, that eventful, huh?
Wow.
I worked a lot, and I rode the motorcycle. I got sunburned severely.
Whoa. Oh, Danny wants you to slow down.
Whoa.
So, hey.
I had a good time riding up in the mountains. It was real fun.
Sweet. Next time you'll stay in the Overlook Hotel, right?
Yes.
Awesome. So I guess we got to go. My wife keeps calling me, Bill, so we might as well end the show. So, Bill, you, me, Battlefield, whatever it's called. I can't remember.
Battlefield 1943.
Yes. All right. See you next week, everybody, in the NIMH Book Club. Woohoo!
I wasn't really paying that much attention.
You better pay attention, Jesse.
Smartass.
One very intelligent a-hole.
Now this is podcasting.
Darth Ronnie.
Nothing but an asshole with a little training.
Ooh.